Kevin doing a very nice job this morning.
Thank you, Dean. I appreciate that.
Filling in for the Schwanee, who's, well, we're going to talk to him in a few minutes. I have no idea where he is.
He's on tour.
He's on tour.
Yeah.
He got in the car and he just started driving.
Yes.
We'll find out where he is some other time. So do we know about, have we ever done a getting to know you with Kevin?
You know, I don't think we have.
I don't believe we want to know everything about you.
I think I've done this show maybe once or twice with you, right. But I don't believe we've ever done that. No, you've had jam-packed shows, so yeah, I'm in for that.
You know, we always have time to learn about the people who are on the show. So what can you tell us about yourself?
I've been in radio news for about 3 years now. I'm a Marquette grad. Mm-hmm. I'm from Cary, Illinois.
Oh, very nice.
So northwest suburbs.
Cary, Illinois.
Some family on the north side. I'm a huge sports fan. Mm-hmm. I love the Cubs. I'm a Cubs. I'm a north side guy. I'm a big Bears fan. And I love living in Chicago. I've been here about a year now. I live in Lincoln Park. It's great. It's during the summer. It's been a great summer down here. I've been to a lot of games and concerts and festivals, and I'm really enjoying the city. So, and, you know, love working at WGN
Very
too.
Nice.
It's dream come true.
Andy, I don't know if you noticed that he hasn't said how much he loves being on the show.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a glaring omission. Yes,
right. The WGN, you know, the pillars of WGN, such as you and I.
Yeah, I have to say, working with Andy is a highlight of my week. Most weeks.
Ooh,
not every week.
He takes the first shot,
wow.
All right.
Yeah. Some weeks. Not all. You know, sometimes he gets out of here early and wants to record his sports cast.
Get a little crabby sometimes.
No,
yeah.
That never happens.
Yeah.
We always play a game of guess if Andy's live or recorded.
Yep.
That's one of our favorite things that we do on this show.
Live or Memorex.
All right, well, welcome. Buckle yourself in. It's always a bumpy ride, so get it, because it is a brand new day. Get it?
Yes.
Sad when I have to explain them. Two reasons for playing this. I love the song. I love Sting. Yet I did not go to the Sting concert at Ravinia last night. Mr. Andy Mazur did.
I did.
To the show last night. And what would be your review?
I thought it was an awesome concert. I just thought it was a great night. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better weather night.
Beautiful night.
Out there at Ravinia.
To be outside.
It was so crowded there. You couldn't really move. It was so funny because at one point, Sting's son actually opened up the show.
Oh, really?
Joe. And you don't need a DNA test to know that he's actually Sting's son.
Looks like him, sounds
like him. Sounds like him. But he had a joke. He said, this just in from Ravinia Security, there has been located a 5-inch square of grass over here. It needs to be covered immediately. And that was it. I mean, it was absolutely, as far as the eye could see,
the lawn was completely packed.
It was completely packed.
Wow.
And
I'm not surprised.
No, I'm not either.
I'm not surprised, and it'll probably be the same tonight. He's doing another show there tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can, I guess I could go to Ravinia.org to find out if you can still buy a lawn seat to get in there for Sting tonight. But, you know, I guess it's worth it. I always enjoyed, you told me you were sitting on the lawn.
Yeah, we sat on the lawn.
Because you had some friends there, and you were scrounging off of the food that they brought.
Oh, of course.
Brought.
See, that's the thing. We have some friends, actually, Melina has, they're her friends that have become my friends, that they're donors. So they have the ability to get in at like 4 o'clock, and then they cater. We had a little barbecue last night, and you know, we brought our own drinks and everything.
Wait, you had a barbecue at Ravinia?
We just had barbecue food there.
You barbecued brisket, and brought it.
Yeah, brisket and chicken.
Nice.
Elote.
Elote.
That was good stuff.
I love the elote.
Yeah, good stuff.
I love the elote. Songs?
You know, he was great. I mean,
could you please sing all of them?
Yeah, I'll
recreate
sing
them for us.
You want to lose the audience here, but yeah, he did a nice variety of his stuff. Solo stuff and some Police things.
Hmm.
He actually, at one point, about 5 or 6 songs in, he has a new album, and he basically told everybody that he apologized, but he was going to have to play some new songs. And
it's funny that he would say that.
And it was so funny.
Everybody hates when any artist does new music; they just want to hear the hits.
He goes, but you know, this could be a hit one day, and you've heard it first.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he sang one song. He goes, "See, that wasn't so bad, was it?" okay, I'll do another one. And he did another one off the new album.
That's funny. Yeah.
And then, yeah, he finished up with some classics from the Police and did a little encore. And it was
what was your favorite song that he did last night?
You know,
were you up and dancing at any point?
You know, I was not
up
and dancing.
Were you up and doing your white guy dancing?
No, I was embarrassed because everybody else around me was doing it. So I figured one more was probably not going to be necessary at that point.
Oh, see, that would have been my cue to jump right in.
Yeah.
If other people were white people dancing, white guy dancing.
Yeah.
Then I would have thought, well, how bad can I look?
Yeah. That's a good point.
If others are doing that.
Yeah, you know, I think...
You know who I see as be a big concert dancer? Kevin Wells.
I think so, too.
You think so?
He's like the mosh pit kind of guy. Yeah. I don't think he does the white man dance.
He's like super serious.
You know, back in my...
Super serious young guy. But I'll bet...
Let's his hair down, yeah.
You start playing a song, and he's like Elaine Bennis on Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
Dancing.
Kevin Wells with little kicks.
Back in my favorite dance. Younger days, maybe.
Your younger days than now?
Yeah, please.
Oh, my gosh.
Please, stop it.
I'm trying to remember the last time I was in a mosh pit. I think Rise Against concert up in Northerly Island, I think, was one of those. I haven't been to a big show like that in quite a while, though. I would love to. We were just talking with Jess earlier this morning, our producer. She was saying that, have you ever been to Ravinia? And I've never been. I would really like to go at some point. Yeah,
well,
I know.
Andy, you said this was only your second time.
Yeah, second time. I mean, you know, having a career in baseball like I did, it's really hard to get to... concerts in the summertime, right? Because you're always busy.
Working. Yeah.
So yeah, this was the second time. Last year I saw Yacht Rock Revue. I'm going to see them again on Thursday. But this was it was a pretty amazing. There was a lot of energy. I mean, it was a lot of energy. I think, you know, Brand New Day, one of my favorite songs. He did a nice little rendition of Everything Little Thing Is Magic. It was a different kind of version than you're used to hearing. And he got everybody going. I mean, toward the end, it was great. I mean, So Lonely, King of Pain,
right?
Every Breath You Take.
There's no shortage of material for him from which to draw, that's for sure.
There were some notable omissions as far as I was concerned.
Like?
But I thought that he would play If You Love Somebody, Set Them Free. Did not.
Yeah. That's a good standard.
We'll Be Together. Did not.
Every Breath You Take.
He did that at the end. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Love Is the Seventh Wave, one of my favorite underrated songs of Sting. And I thought there was an outside chance that he was going to play Russians, because I thought maybe he was going to make some political thing that some artists do, but he stayed away from that, which is okay.
Englishman in New York?
Englishman in New York was there, yeah. He did that. He likes his toast done on both sides, doesn't drink coffee, drinks tea, my dear. All This Time went on there. If I ever lose my faith in you, Fields of Gold.
There is no... I've seen him in concert several times, and then he was here... I don't remember the name of the play. He wrote the music for a play. I'm not going to remember. Somebody will remember and text it or call it in. But he, in the lead-up to all of that, he did a little mini-concert over at the... the theater that's at Water Tower, tiny little theater, to introduce the play. But he comes on stage with his guitar, and you know, you're treated. It's like seeing Sting at Park West, or you know, it's like a tiny little place to see him perform. But I've seen his shows before, and he's great. And doesn't he seem just completely effortless?
Yeah, and he's 70
while he's performing.
He's 70 years old, and I'm telling you what, I will sign up for that age first of all.
Yeah.
And I'll sign up to look as good as he does it at age 70 and putting on an hour and a half show in the summer.
He's going to do it again tonight.
Yeah.
Same thing, same place up at Ravinia in Highland Park again tonight for a show.
And the best thing, if you're living in the city, just get to the Ravenswood stop on the Metro, and with your ticket to Ravinia, it's a free ride. And it'll take you right to the gate.
Yeah, that's the greatest thing.
Yeah, it takes you right to the gate. You avoid all the parking, and they have plenty of trains on the way home. They guide you to them as you're leaving, so there's no worry about missing a train coming back to the city.
And it was, I'm sure the trains were packed, right?
But yeah, it was funny. It was packed on the way there. It really wasn't all that. Our train car was not that crowded on the way back. I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you. But we started making our way toward the front. Just as he concluded the final song before the encore, because you could still hear. So we figured let's get a head start,
right?
And you could still hear, and then we got on the train.
I'm on their website, ravinia.org, right now, and it appears as though all the seating options are currently sold out.
Yeah.
Check back as tickets may become available at a later date if donated back to Ravinia, or consider another seating area in the park, except that I checked all of the seating areas on here. There are none. Pavilion, sold out. $170 to $200, by the way, for a pavilion seat.
Yeah, the lawn seats were $65.
$65 for general lawn admission. Yeah. But they have this new thing now called premium lawn blocks, where you can buy a block reserved for 2, 4, or 6 people.
Oh, that's right. They started that with COVID, right?
They started that when they came back from COVID
to
keep people separated. Mm-hmm. But people liked it so much because you could reserve a spot on the lawn and you didn't have to find your 2 inches to put down your, you know, everything that you brought from Crate and Barrel.
Exactly.
To Ravinia.
Your Ravinia table.
Your table. And those lawn blocks are $170 per person. But general lawn seats... just to sit on the lawn, $65.
Yeah, all in all, a really great night. A lot of good friends out there, and I think, you know, judging by just the energy again, I think everybody had a really good time there last night.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll find out where Schwani is. He's been on vacation this week and couldn't stand to be away from me for a Sunday, so he checks in coming up next.
WGN. On the road again.
It is 9:25. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Those of you speculating, where is Dave Schwann this morning? Some of you asking, is he doing the Chicago Triathlon? No. He's not. Was he playing triangle in Sting's band at Ravinia last night?
He was not.
He was not. He was not. Schwani is on the road again. Good morning, my friend.
Well, good morning, Dean. Good morning, Andy. Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, everyone. It is a beautiful morning in Occoquan, Virginia.
Occoquan, Virginia, you say?
Yes, Occoquan, Virginia. We are 25 miles southwest of Washington, D.C. It is the home of Gilda. And Gilda has been just marvelous, taking me around town here and around the area here, showing me the beautiful state of Virginia.
Yeah.
And we had a great 3 days at Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Yeah, Gilda being the lady friend to which you have
referred. Yes.
Yes. Your lady friend.
Lady friend.
My dear friend, yes.
Yeah. So explain this trip. Now, I mean, this is another one of your road trips, right, that you're on?
Yes, actually a flying trip, but a combination of
You actually got on a plane.
We flew in to D.C. After the show last week on Sunday.
All right.
Gilda picked me up, but we were indeed on the road on Tuesday. We just drove to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. It's one of the places that Gilda has enjoyed for so many years, going back to the 1970s. A great resort town on the Atlantic Ocean. What a beautiful beach and a boardwalk, all kinds of neat stores and businesses and restaurants there. Not to mention perfect weather.
Yeah. At any point, did Gilda buy a t-shirt that says, "I'm with Stupid," pointing?
She already has it. And it points toward me.
Yeah, well, that was sort of the assumption.
I was going to buy a shirt. I saw a shirt that said Grumpy.
Ah.
I was going to buy that one.
I don't know who you would possibly get that for, but so you're having a great time.
We are. This is just a beautiful, beautiful area. Yep. And Occoquan has... We use the word so often, charm, but that's exactly what this town is.
Yeah.
Charming and full of all kinds of history. As I say, 25 miles southwest of Washington, D.C., and population is 1,100 people. So it's a very small place. and a beautiful place to come and relax and have a great vacation. I'll be here until Thursday.
Yeah, but you'll be back here next Sunday morning because you miss me so much.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
Actually, I'll be back there because it's my job. But
and you miss me so much.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Shawnee.
But this is how much he misses me. He said, I'm on vacation. This is the time I should just be relaxing. But I would like to do the far-flung forecast while I'm on vacation. Is that correct?
That's right. It's been a tradition. Every time we've been on the road,
yeah,
we've done it. Sure.
So without fail, and despite public opinion, it is time once again for our mobile far-flung forecast, our fascinating compendium of information. Here now with the latest, Dave Rand McNally Schwann.
Thank you, Dave. Well, friends and neighbors, get out your compasses and protractors, because our far-flung forecast is right where I am today, Occoquan, Virginia. It is spelled capital OCCOQUAN, a population of 1,100, and it was established around 1734. It goes back that far, and was first discovered, if you will, or explored by Captain John Smith in 1608, who helped settle Jamestown, the first European settlement in the United States. But it does go back to 1734. The term Occoquan is derived from the Dogue Native Americans that lived here, meaning grove of trees. And that makes perfect sense because there are so many beautiful wooded areas around here.
Oh, boy. I'll bet he's explaining all the trees.
Yes, he is, just like he did on our walk
to Gilda. Oh, boy.
There is a combination.
Poor Gilda. No wonder she called me this morning.
Deciduous, whatever.
Did you call him this morning?
No, okay. He called me this morning. How do I get rid of him?
there is a combination of deciduous trees and beautiful pine trees also. But the grove of trees certainly stands to reason. But 1,100 people here, all kinds of neat stores, great restaurants. Man, we have had good food. Gilda treated me to a wonderful dinner on my birthday this past Monday at a restaurant called The Secret Garden. It was just a magnificent setting. And the history here is just unbelievable. You know, going back to 1734, there are buildings that were built in the mid-1700s that are still standing here. Think about that. You know, before the Revolutionary War.
By the way, Shawnee, Kevin Wells just sent me a text saying, tell him to wrap it up. I've got a newsroom to run.
Okay. I want to thank Mayor Ernie Porta.
Oh my God! Wait a minute. You're thanking the mayor?
Yes, sir. Where's the music to play him off?
What? Oh, jeez. Okay.
But we had a great visit on Friday. We had a great visit with the mayor, and he took us around and gave us all kinds of great information here about Occoquan, which is a wonderful place to visit if you're ever in the D.C. area, 25 miles outside of D.C. We have sunny skies and 80 degrees here.
Yeah. Andy, can you tell that he's trying to get a free meal at the IHOP?
Yeah.
There with all the thanking the mayor.
Name dropping, yeah.
Yeah, trying to get the key to the city. Shawnee, have a safe trip home. We'll see you next week. I-39, Dean Richards Sunday Morning. WGN with our pal Dr. Kevin Most joining us as always to talk all things health, all things COVID, all things monkeypox, just all things that we need to know right now. Kev, good morning. Thanks for joining us as always.
Good morning, Dean. Beautiful day out there today.
It is so gorgeous. Have you ever done one of these triathlons that's are going on right now?
No, it's the running and swimming part that I really would. I think you have to run quite a distance. I'm only good if someone's chasing me.
That's what I said. I've always said that for for marathons, that I would only run that far if somebody was chasing me. It's a 6-mile run. It's a 24-mile bike ride. and a mile-long swim. That's what they're doing out there today.
That's great.
I mean, you've got to be in pretty good shape to do all that.
Yeah, I think the mile swim is probably the hardest part, especially, you know, swimming in Lake Michigan is not the easiest body of water to swim in. Yeah, they have to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I would think, like, everybody has their own, strong part. I would think that a bike ride would be easy because, you know, you're seated. Oh. And it's a relatively flat surface. They're doing the bike ride on Lakeshore Drive. But that seat's got to be uncomfortable, I would say, after about mile three.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever been on a 24-mile bike ride before. And I don't think swimming would be that. I mean, swimming, you can kind of go at your own pace, right? I mean, the idea is to get it done quickly, but you can kind of...
But Dean, if you're the only ones with the little floaty things on your arms, that kind of
with the rubber duck, with the little rubber ducky floaty things on me, that is a little embarrassing when you get out there. You're very correct about that. That's why you're the doctor. So, one of the top stories in COVID this week is this lawsuit that Moderna has filed against Pfizer and BioNTech for a patent infringement on COVID vaccine technology. I don't know the ins and outs of this lawsuit, and I'm not even sure that it's relevant to most people. I only ask in that, is this going to slow things down for people trying to get the new booster, getting any shots, or is the legality of something like this, will that get in the way of people's health?
Yeah, I don't think so. And it's interesting, right? When we had this, when COVID first came, we made this vaccine, the companies that made it, we were all playing nice. You know, we're nice in the sandbox. Now that we've gone down a ways, and now the companies are starting to look at what the financial rewards are for this technology going forward. So it's not so much just about the COVID vaccine, but it's about the mRNA ability to use that to make vaccines. So they're looking down the road. I don't think it's going to have an immediate impact now. And I think that if one company wins, certainly they're going to have to ramp up because the demand for vaccines is not going to slow.
Yeah. Well, if anything, when this new booster comes out, you know, I presume everyone's going to want the latest and greatest. I would hope that they would. Because, you know, it's already shown how effective the vaccines and the booster shots have been at keeping people who get COVID from having serious effects like they did when all of this started. I would hope that the legal monkey business that's going to go on now, doesn't affect people's ability to, get what they need to stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that would just be one more misstep in the series of missteps we've had. So certainly we would hope that let's go for the best health of the community and the best health of our nation and the world. And then you guys figure out what you need to later. But let's not impact what's going on right now. That's all we need is for, you know, a new surge to come. And like you said, this new vaccine is not only preventing you from hospitalizations and death, but it's actually preventing the illness, which is exactly what we want, yeah. You know, even with the influenza vaccine.
Yeah, that's what we wanted in the first place. The side story to all of this now is that President Biden's administration is saying that they are planning on offering the next booster to Americans 12 and older shortly after Labor Day. Given the problems that we've had with rollout of vaccines, does that seem realistic, like that could actually happen?
Labor Day is next week.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I know we have all put in our orders for the vaccine. The FDA meets this week, but for them to approve it, ship it, and the logistics of just making sure that everybody understands what the vaccine is and who gets it. And like you said, the United States is saying, hey, everybody over the age of 12. Well, Pfizer's booster is over the age of 12. Moderna's booster is for 18 and over. So, again, we're going to have this confusion of, wait, he's 14. Oh, he can't have Moderna. He has to go to a different place and get Pfizer.
Now, with all of this, I mean, once it becomes available, I want to get it. I hope everyone will make their own personal decision on that. But in the meantime, there are other vaccines. You know, I was just getting my annual And it's like if you had your vaccines for pneumonia, if you had your vaccine for shingles, if you had your flu shot yet, you know, all of these things. Should I just, you know, be on a regular schedule with all these other vaccines while I'm also working all the new boosters into the regime as well?
Well, you know, the good thing about the pneumonia and the shingles is it's kind of a, I don't want to say it's a one time because you get multiple ones, but it's not like you're going to get that every year. The every year vaccine is going to be, you know, obviously influenza, and certainly it looks like it's going to be a COVID and influenza. But the importance of keeping vaccinated is two things. One, it decreases the spread, so we don't have huge outbreaks of influenza or many more huge outbreaks of COVID. But also protects you. Anybody who's had true influenza or had COVID and had symptoms goes, gosh, I'd rather have a little jab in my arm than going through the symptoms that you, many people have had for, you know, 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it as well. And I, you know, you can jab me in my arm as many times as you want if I don't have to go through that nightmare that I went through. In what I call classic COVID, when I had it, was before there was a vaccine, and it was horrible. Give me as many punctures in my arm as you need to keep me away from something like that from happening again. I want to talk about rebound COVID that's very much in the news now. I want to get to phone calls and texts for Dr. Kevin Most. As always, 312-981-7200, all next. This is Dean Richards. Sunday morning on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. And Rose, you are on the air with Dr. Most. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. What my question is that when would I be eligible for the booster? And here, let me just give you the details. So I've got my second booster, my husband and I, and that was middle of April, I think it was April 18th, and we are going to Europe at the beginning of October. So we're hoping that we'd be eligible for the new booster sometime in September. If, you know, that would be about 5 months from the date we first got the, or that we last got the booster.
So yeah, Rose, I think, Rose, that you will be fine, and you definitely will be able to get it before. I even think that they're going to shorten that from probably 5 months to 3 months. I think that we really want to curtail this BA4, BA5 as much as we can right now. And we know that some of the timing of the vaccines, 5 months, 6 months, but I think you're going to see them shorten this. But certainly, I would get it just before you go. You should be fine with that.
Yep. That's good. That's what you're hoping to hear, because we're, you know, we don't want to be sick over there. We're going on a river cruise, and we're trying to stay healthy.
Very nice.
Good. And you know, the nice thing about river cruises now is you can spend a lot of time outside. So, you know, get some fresh air while you're doing it and stay away from other people, because you've been vaccinated. You don't know what their condition is.
Yeah, that's a good way to stay safe. Good luck with all that. Have a great trip. Thank you. The 847 area code says, since I got COVID last summer, my calves and feet have been numb, painful, and stiff. Does Dr. Most know about developing neuropathy during these long-haul symptoms from COVID?
Yeah, you know, the long-haul symptoms have been so widely, I mean, everything from heart to brain fog to muscle. So certainly he could have some inflammation there. There are other conditions that can cause neuropathy, so you certainly want to make sure that those have been eliminated. You know, make sure that you're not a diabetic. You know, we have a lot of diabetes right now and a lot of neuropathy from diabetes, and there's other conditions. So certainly I would see your general practitioner or a neurologist to discuss it, and because now we do have some medications that can actually help.
The 314 area code, should there be a time gap between a shingles vaccine and COVID booster, are they okay at the same time? I'm a healthy woman, late 50s. Thank you. Love the show and the segment. Thank you very much for that. What's the answer to the question, Kev?
Yeah, the answer to that question is I would get the COVID vaccine now. I make the analogy of a race versus a marathon. The shingles vaccine is going to protect you for decades, where this is, we have the immediate concern right now with what's going on with COVID. So certainly get that. You can wait about a month and get and start your shingles, because shingles, again, is two shots, and you want to make sure you get the Shingrix. That's the good one. Certainly that is important. If anybody's had shingles, you know the importance of having that vaccine, which is so highly effective.
Yeah, and somebody else asking pretty much the same question about the time lapse between a pneumonia shot and a COVID vaccine.
Yeah, you know, if you look at what they're doing with pediatrics, you know, pediatrics, they're giving them all together. I just kind of say, you know, let's try to spread these out a little bit. Let's let your immune system, which is smart enough to figure this out, but I would still spread those out. Again, the pneumonia shot is protecting you from getting a bacterial pneumonia. It's going to be protecting you, again, for years versus what we need right now. So if you're up for a COVID booster and you're going to wait for this booster to come out, hopefully in the next week, then wait a month and go ahead and get the pneumonia shot, start the pneumonia series as well.
Yeah, prioritize. The COVID shot is the most important right now. And, you know, the others, you know, get them as soon as you can after that. This is Jim on the line, 312-981-7200. You're on with Dr. Kevin Most.
Hey, Kevin. I'm so glad to hear somebody else say about separating vaccines. As a pharmacist, I've been pushing that forever. Separate these vaccines out. But anyway, my question was: are we going to have a supply problem like we did with the first vaccine, where people are waiting 2, 3, 4 months before we're getting it, which means possibly after the holidays?
Yeah, Jim. You know, one, thank you for your service, because I'm sure you put a lot of COVID vaccines into people's arms as we're using pharmacies as our key distribution, get it in the community as quickly as possible. You know, we've ordered, 170 million doses. The production is already happening, but I do think that there is going to be a supply issue, as well as how we're going to do the distribution fairly to make sure that we're going to get enough out there. My concerns are right there with you. Hopefully we have this a big enough supply well before October. As you're going to start to enter the holiday season, you want to make sure we have full protection.
Jim, thank you very much for your call and for your service as well. And Dr. Kevin Most, thank you for all that you give us every single week. It's great to talk to you, and I hope you have a great Sunday today.
You got it, Dean. We'll talk soon.
So how about those Bears last night?
How about it, huh?
Just a good things to come the Bears this year?
You can certainly hope. Obviously,
I hope so.
You can't really judge a whole lot by preseason. You don't know exactly what Cleveland was doing with their defense, if they were not trying to show anything. But it is a good thing when your quarterback starts to get a little confidence, especially after a rocky season a year ago. And, you know, you can see things starting to click for him a little bit, which is really good.
Have we had seasons like this where preseason was really good, the Bears preseason has been good, and then things fell apart? That has happened.
Oh, it's happened. Yeah, because, you know, you get injuries. You can't judge a whole lot by preseason. They were undefeated, I think, in 1994 as well, and I don't remember exactly that season turned out to be a real good one. But, you know, it's such a weird game, because the NFL has got a lot of parity. There's certain teams that are just high and above everybody else, but then there's a group in the middle that's just kind of everybody's almost equal. So it just depends on what you do that day. Unfortunately, that's kind of one of those things you really can't predict. And, you know, if I predict that they're going to do well, you know what's going to happen. So I'm just trying to keep my mouth shut.
Whatever Andy says, bet opposite.
Yeah, you fade it. That's what you do. That's the gambling terms. Just fade
it. Fade it?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, look at you, Diamond Jim.
Yeah.
Who knew that? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And Northwestern, too.
That was awesome.
Over in Ireland.
Yeah, that was great. I tell you what, Dave Ennett, he sounded like a kid in a candy store yesterday, not just because his Wildcats were winning. But
you know he's full of Guinness.
Exactly, Guinness and corned beef and cabbage and all that
fish
stuff.
Fish and chips and all that, right.
Mark Carmen was dressed as a leprechaun on the sideline. It was all good, you know?
When isn't he dressed like a leprechaun?
That's a good point.
Really.
But you know what? It was a great way to start a season for Northwestern. Northwestern lost to Nebraska last year, 56-7, and they redoubled their efforts to, as you just heard in the sound clip I just played from Pat Fitzgerald. They want to get that Wildcat way going again. They want to be a team that's tough and it's going to play you. It may not win, but it's going to play you tough, and you're going to know that you played the Wildcats. And I think that certainly was a good start for them.
Yeah, and we'll have the Wildcat games here on the big WGN.
Yep. Something about those even-year cats. Huh?
Yeah, I mean they were.
Is that true?
Yeah, they were.
Is that true?
In 2020, they were in the Big Ten championship game. In 2018, they were in the Big Ten championship game. And in 2019 and 2021, they were 3-9.
I love facts like that.
Yeah. There was a pitcher a long time.
Schwanee would never give us facts like that.
There was a pitcher a long time ago.
I'm liking Kevin on the show here.
Yeah, I think I'm.
I'm enjoying Kevin Wells on the show.
I'm going to vote a vote of confidence.
Wow, yeah. That means a lot. I guess I'm
vote of confidence.
You want me here next Sunday? Keep Schwanee out and where's he?
Yeah,
at?
Wherever he is.
What's the name of the town again?
Okamoka, whatever he was talking about.
Okeechobee. Yeah. Oh, that's Florida. Wait, sorry.
Yeah, it's a good thing he's been sucking up to the mayor over there.
Yeah, maybe he can get a job in his cabinet there.
Yeah, maybe get a job at Okanobo 103.5.
Jess called him a walking encyclopedia.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the Kevin Wells on the show.
Yeah, me too.
Today. Anyway, so we'll talk. Dave, is Dave Innitt back? That's what I was going to ask. Is he back tomorrow?
No, I'm in for him on Monday and Tuesday. They're coming back. They're spending a couple extra days there. It was built into their travel plans because they didn't want the kids doing a whole bunch of stuff, sightseeing and anything before the game because it was such an important game. So they did a dinner last night. There's a lot of family members that made the trip. And Pat Fitzgerald discovered that he had some family in Ireland as well.
How do you not when your name's Fitzgerald?
Exactly. He had about 50 tickets out for the game yesterday, and they fed nearly 600 people yesterday after the game. It's extended family, players, their families, and, you know, like I said, 50 mouths to feed there on the Pat Fitzgerald list. So they had a big dinner yesterday. They're going to go see some sights today, which is it's 7 hours ahead.
It's afternoon
there.
Right.
And then they're going to board a plane and come back. I believe they're coming back Monday afternoon Ireland time.
Yeah.
And then arrive sometime early in the morning on Tuesday, so Dave will be back on the airways on Wednesday.
Yeah, I would pay any money for Dave to have a really thick brogue when he comes back.
Yeah,
and playing the bagpipes on Bob Sirott show.
Yeah, he can talk to Brona over there at Channel 9, and they can compare their brogues.
Yeah, compare their brogues. Yeah. Exactly right. When you kiss your mouth among the fields of gold. It's taking me back to my smooth jazz days. We played this song over at the WNUA maybe as much as we played Kenny G, which was considerable, by the way. I'm just starting to like this song again. You can relate to this, Andy, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
A DJ where you like a song originally,
oh, yeah,
and then you play it to death on the radio, and you can't stand hearing it anymore.
Yeah, and that was Life is a Highway for me when I first heard it from Tom Cochran. And now if it comes on, it's like Kramer with what's her, the Entertainment Tonight? Mary Hart. Remember he had the little seizures when she heard her voice? That's kind of how I am with Tom Cochran's Life is a Highway now.
Yeah, I have to go on a little vacation from some of these songs. When I was a music DJ, I would have to go on a little vacation from some of the songs.
Yeah, I don't blame
him so much. But Sting. Andy was at the Sting concert last night at Ravinia. He sang that one.
Yeah, he got that one in there. Fields of Gold. He did a lot of stuff. I mean, it was about 18, 19 songs.
How was his son? You said his son was his opening act.
His son was
Sting Jr., as I like to call him.
Little baby Sting is what I like to call him. Yeah,
baby,
you know, he gets stung by a little bee. It's a little baby Sting. I thought he was good. I mean,
his music similar to his dad's?
It's a little similar. It's more folky, I want to say. He did a couple of songs that he dedicated to his kids, like lullaby kind of things that were really kind of catchy. But he had a great personality. I mean, he was carrying things the first half hour. It was just it set a good mood. It set a good tone for the show. And he was done, and there was about a 15-minute or so break in between, and then Sting came out, and it was ready to go.
Yeah. How old is the son? 20s, 30s?
I think he probably in his 30s, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he had some grown kids, so I'm imagining 30, maybe even pushing 40.
Yeah. Good looking.
Yeah.
Both Sting and his wife are incredibly gorgeous, both of them.
Yeah, I told you earlier, I mean, I would sign up for getting to 70, first of all. And then looking like he does, you know? I mean,
why you're making 70 sound like it's ancient.
Well, to us 55-year-olds, 70 is, way down the road.
You'll have a new perspective on that
yes,
soon.
Yes, I will.
I was at I was doing, you know, back in the old days where I used to go to LA all the time to do interviews. I've only done that like twice since the pandemic, but there's hardly any travel. Everybody asks me all the time, so are you still traveling all the time? No, I'm not. Thank goodness. But I get in an elevator of a hotel once, and you know, I get in, the doors close, we go down, you know, a couple of floors, the doors open, in gets Sting. And what's his wife's name? Trudy?
I think it is, yeah.
I think it's Trudy. Sting and Mrs. Sting.
Sting get in, and Mrs. Sting.
Get in the elevator. And, you know, you don't really react with, you know, I say hello when people, when I'm in an elevator, I'll say hello when somebody gets in. But I was scared to say anything. So it was before I interviewed him.
Yeah.
Now we're old friends.
Good pals.
Because I interviewed him like 8 years ago or something. Which we're going to replay that interview, by the way. We looked through the archives. We found it. And it's when he was in town, he had a musical called The Last Ship that did not do that well on Broadway. It played, you know, for a little while here, pre-Broadway run, and then went to New York and was not very successful on Broadway. But still, an interesting interview with Sting. That we'll share coming up in just a little while. So stick around for that. We have Mr. Frank Ferrante, who's going to be joining us live in studio. He starred Caesar in the Teatro Zanzani that was over in downtown Chicago. And there's a brand new show that now is going to be opening, same spot at the Hotel Cambria, that Frank is going to be starring in. So he'll tell us all about that coming up in just a little while. So I had an interesting experience while you were packed into Ravinia last night. I went to dinner with some friends. I'm not going to say where, because I don't want this to reflect badly on the restaurant.
Okay.
But it's the first time that this has ever happened at the restaurant. We're sitting with friends and having a lovely dinner, and there was a power outage.
Huh.
Restaurant goes completely dark.
Wow.
So, like, you know, what do you do? Here's what I did. I kept eating.
Yeah, well, you should. Order
not
more drinks.
Be able to reheat it for you, so.
Order some more drinks.
I was thinking, like, well, can I steal while the lights are out? But, you know, the staff of the restaurant, you know, they're going nuts trying to figure out what to do, how to get the lights on. But when I guess it was a power outage. I never really found out what happened. I don't know if it was, you know, like, you know, the whole block went out, or the whole region, or it was just the restaurant, or, you know, what the deal was. But when the lights went out, like emergency lights went on inside the restaurant, you know, not very many, but there were some emergency, like, floodlights that went on. So you could kind of see a little bit, but it was kind of like dark and romantic.
Huh.
I recommend blackouts to all of you. For future dining experiences.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Coming up, the brand new feature on the program, What I Learned in the Elevator, coming up.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was taking pictures last week of some of the things in the elevator.
Yeah, we'll see if we match.
Okay.
In a minute. I don't know. How often do they change that? In our elevator here at 303 East Wackard Drive, they have a little TV screen in the elevator. And they flash different, really very interesting facts while you're on your lovely elevator ride. And, I just thought, well, I shouldn't be the only one to enjoy these. We should share these with the world. So when we come back from the break, what I learned this morning in my elevator ride here at WGN Radio.
Talk 10:24,
Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Not just entertainment for your Sunday morning listening and dancing pleasure, but also just loaded with incredible information. We get this information extra when we come here to WGN Radio at 303 East Wacker Drive. We are up on the 18th floor, so we have to get in the elevator and come up to the 18th floor. And in our little elevator that we've got, there are TV screens that tell you, Well, what do we get in there, Andy? We get the time.
Get the weather.
We get the weather.
Stocks when it's during the day.
Yeah, get the stocks. Plus, fascinating information, little vignettes that flash, you know, just enough to occupy your mind. Because heaven knows you don't want to be bored for 30 seconds in the elevator while you're, you know, going up 18 floors. So that's why we created this new feature, What I Learned in the Elevator, coming upstairs today at WGN. Kevin, you ever read those messages
in
the elevator?
All the time. I usually just, usually in there on my phone on my way out, and I'm zoning out, but I'll check the weather. I love that because, you know, sometimes you're up here and you lose track if it's raining or something. You walk outside. It's nice. It's a nice little reminder.
Yeah.
But Andy had a cool fact that he learned today. I got to pay more attention. I haven't.
Now, what did you learn today coming up, Andy? Because I learned several things coming up today.
Yeah. So today, of course, it was sports related, and the headline is Golf is Good for You.
Oh,
love that.
A study found that golf was not only associated with improving cardiovascular risk factors and mental well-being, but also increased life expectancy.
What?
Golfers can live up to 5 years longer than non-golfers on average. So there you go.
Wait a minute. Golfers can
live up to five years longer than non-golfers on average.
Do you think that's because of the physical exercise, of which there is very little?
Well, you know, you got to walk, you got to swing, you got to...
Well, I guess you're walking.
Yeah, you got to bend down to get your ball.
Yeah.
Out in the sun, getting some vitamins.
In my case, I burn off lots of calories and raise my heartbeat just by swearing.
Yeah.
Well, at how poorly...
I go like for nice walks in the woods.
Not as much as the people who I'm golfing with. They seem to be more upset than I am.
Yeah, I take a little stroll through the woods to find my ball, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one of the things I learned on the way up today.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Fascinating fact. You only learn it in our elevator.
Correct.
Here at WGN. You know, I once had somebody, I was in a foursome, I was playing in a charity thing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked me to leave the foursome.
Really?
Wow. Disrespectful.
No, they were right. I was pretty awful. I was pretty awful, and I didn't really care whether I played well or not. I was just out there for the sunshine, the fresh air, and the beer.
There are some people that get into these charity events that are so serious about winning.
Too competitive.
Oh, my goodness.
Completely turned me off. Yeah. But they actually asked me if I would leave.
What hole were you on when they asked?
That might have been the first one.
I was going to say, two.
Lost two balls into the water. Yeah. Hey, can you?
I never even got to the windmill where you hit the ball through the windmill.
What about the bowling pin one?
The bowling pin one, the clown's nose.
Uh-huh.
I never got to any of those. I assume that was later in the course.
Uh-huh.
So here's what, did you say you learned something, Kevin, also?
I definitely have over the past, like, you know, couple months just reading it. I couldn't bring up a specific story right now. I'm just fascinated.
Yeah,
by
you guys
the golf
are taking
one.
Pictures of these things.
Yeah.
Now that I know it's a segment.
Got to get your phone ready. Yeah. Here's what I learned today. It's never too late to start lifting. Because I've just signed up with a personal trainer. I would say within the next 10 or 20 years, I'll really be completely ripped.
Yes.
Working out with this trainer. I'm so sore working out with this guy right now. But I know it's going to pay off. But anyway, so we have been lifting weights, which, you know, normally I don't do. But it says it's never too late to start lifting. When you're just starting out, there's no need to lift for more than 45 minutes. Well, believe me, I'm nowhere near 45 minutes of lifting for me. It says for most moves, aim for two sets of 15 reps apiece and keep the weights light to encourage proper form and reduce the risk of injury. Because you can always add some weight on as you get a little more endurance with it. So I'm going to mention that to my trainer when he wants to do hard stuff. I'm going to show him. I took a picture of it. I'm going to show him.
Hey, the elevator says.
This is what the elevator says. I don't care if you have a degree in physical whatever it is that people have. Let's see. Here's another one that says in a study, in the coming decades, heat considered officially dangerous will likely hit much of the world at least three times more often, that by 2100, the brutal heat index may linger for most of the summer in the south, the U.S. southeast.
Yikes.
So.
I did find one more in my
See how healthy you are golfing in that blazing heat.
Yeah. I found one more in my library here.
Okay.
It says, instead of linking to the full text, an app called Serial Reader will break up your novel into bite-sized issues that can be read in 20-minute increments. Users receive a new chunk every day until the book is complete. And the headline says, read in sprints, not in marathon.
Ah, see?
So that's
like lifting weights.
Yeah, exactly.
Start off light.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to go into the elevator after the news and see if I can find something.
Maybe we can just set up a microphone in there.
In the elevator, yeah.
Instead of actually writing the news and all that, you could just read stuff that's on that screen.
A live report from the elevator?
Live reports from stuff that we learned inside the WGN elevator.
Another opening of another show.
And it's 10:38. Lovely music would indicate that it is time for the Week in Theater. You know, without fail, back in the old days when we had guests in studio all the time who were starring in theatrical productions in the Chicago area, I would play this opening for this segment, and they all did what you just did, Frank Ferranti. Welcome back to Chicago, by the way. It's nice to have you here with us. But this is it's like my litmus test now to see if you're awake to do the interview.
Well, you know, Dean, I love this song. I played Sudolus, something familiar, something peculiar.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
we're the diehards, Dean.
That's what I use it to wake people up before they come on the air. And, you know, if they just sit there like a bag of potatoes, I know the interview's going to go south.
Right, and they should go into accounting instead.
They should get out of show business immediately. It's wonderful to have our friend Frank Ferranti back in studio again, back in Chicago again. He starred as Caesar in Teatro Zinzani for almost its entire run when it was here in Chicago. And that is now closed, and a new show is about to open. Same spot over at the Hotel Cambria. Cabaret Zazu's inaugural production called Luminaire. So what's the difference between these two shows?
It's a great question.
Do you wear as much makeup in
well,
the show?
Not, that's more than I'm wearing now, Dean. So
you look lovely.
Thank
by
you.
The way.
You're not so bad
you
yourself.
You look like a cover girl. you look just like Christie Brinkley.
Oh, well, yes. I follow her on Instagram. Memories.
I'm sure she says that, too.
Oh, yes. You know, it's different in that it's still a variety show. That's how it's the same. But it's different in that we have all new people. It's more variety than ever. It's less storytelling. I'm the only story. The environment's been changed. It's a more romantic feel. It leans more on music than it did before. We have the musicians. It's very much... legends of Chicago are involved, from Theotis Rogers, Chuck Webb, Phil Seed. I mean, it's Chicago, steeped in Chicago blues and jazz.
Chicago-centric.
And to me, you know, I'm in the lobby rehearsing. I'm doing all new material, a slightly different character. I'm more like Caesar's nephew.
Yeah.
He's a wannabe performer. He wants to be a band leader and take, like we talked about the Music Man. I live in that world. But my guy starts off as he's an Italian immigrant, a humble bellhop who invades the variety show Cabaret Zazu and takes over and becomes this band leader, and it's just outrageous, over the top, still very much. It still retains comedy interaction and crowd work, but I think the musical component, I'm in the lobby, as I was about to say, and I'm listening to this band, and you feel like you're in a supper club from the 1930s, 40s, but they play all styles up to the present. You got Liv Warfield, who is like a killer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a Peoria, you know, a native. So I think it leans more toward a musical vibe. I think it's going to be sexier as a result, but it will still retain that variety feel. Yeah. It's the lighting's we got. It's up and upgraded musically, production value. There's more lighting, more contemporary lighting fixtures and technology, but still that's retaining that same feel of being on an insanely fun night out in the round in a circus with food, new food. Oh. It's a new purveyor of the on the menu.
It's like a dinner theater experience.
Completely.
Like the Zinzani was.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So it will retain that. And of course, you got yours truly.
Yeah. Well, please tell me that the show capitalizes on your razor sharp wit and your ability to ad lib and drop things in at the last second. I mean, that was part of the complete joy of seeing you in Zinzani is, you know, clearly when you were going off script and, you know, just doing things and reacting with people in the crowd. That's, you know, part of what made it so much fun. I have to think that you can't put Frank Ferranti in a show and not have that.
Well, no. And I wanted to do something a little different. Thank you for that, first of all, Dean. But, yeah, I'm still going to improvise. I still bring audience members on stage.
Oh, that's my favorite thing. That's why I always sit in back. So I'm nowhere near something like that happening.
But I've seen you out there in the outer ring. And I waved to you from afar.
Yes.
But,
yes.
But yeah, it still has that madness. You know, I come out. He's still in a bullion's over-the-top character. I have to be. That's just kind of what that's what I do. But the name of the guy that I play is Fortissimo Vincenzo Luciano Castiglione. Mm. And so I do draw on my own heritage.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't you have a relative named that?
I had several.
Yeah.
One after each name, actually. But actually, the Castiglione is a family name. But so, yes, I get to play and play and play. I do three acts that are metered, arc throughout this variety show. And it's got the kind of the usual and style. Nothing's usual about it. They're all like death-defying acts. There's a trio, Dane, called Trio Vertex, and it's, you know, they're doing a strap act. You're hanging from basically rope, and they're doing roller skating acts. And I'm really happy I don't have to do any of that.
Yeah,
really,
right?
There's a guy that you'll appreciate by the name of Victor Key, Ukrainian. He was actually in Ukraine when all this started, and he has these beautiful kids and his beautiful wife, who's a contortionist. But he's considered the world's greatest juggler, and he is. I worked with him once before on the West Coast, so. So there were some spectacular people there. But yes, you're going to get my madness and wackiness that helped brand that variety space.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the opening, which will be September the 7th. Mm-hmm. It's going to be over at Hotel Cambria. We'll tell you how to get tickets coming up in a couple of minutes. I want to find out what else is going on with Frank. Is it fun being back in Chicago? You were here at the most, you know, interesting, dark, weird of times. You came to Chicago before, when Zinzani first opened, mm-hmm. You came here before COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
Then COVID hit, mm-hmm. The show closed. Your show, you, were the first one back on stage.
That's right.
Right, you know, when things opened up again. What a weird and remarkable and memorable time, was it?
Yeah, it's been incredible. I mean, as we know, this is not the easiest time to sell tickets to anything or make something happen because, you know, people have been reticent, some, you know, and yet, you know, it's back and forth. We're all dealing with that in the live arts. But it was a thrill to come out here in 2019, open the space, and then, as you said, go down and come back a year ago. And I was the first person to say, hello, everybody. We're back, Chicago. Yeah, we're right. Back theater. We were I think we may have been one of the first theaters spaces in the country, which was very Chicago, you know, bold. So here we are again. It's the third time.
I'll never forget because I was in that audience the first night that it came back. And when you said, we're back, mm-hmm. People went nuts.
Yes, they did.
Because everybody was just so happy to be out of their houses and, you know, doing something. I think we were all still masked then, maybe.
Yes.
But just to be out among other human beings at that point.
Yes.
Everybody felt so great, and you were the cheerleader of it all.
I felt really privileged. To hear people laugh after being in my living room for a year and a half, and to arrive at the first day rehearsal with my colleagues, with performers, with mad, wild, passionate performers was almost overwhelming. We weren't used to interacting. I hadn't seen I couldn't hug my mother for a year and a half. It's not a great feeling. And now we're in a room trying to create fun for people and for ourselves. So that is great. So here I am back again. I hope this one sticks for 20 years.
Yeah.
And you'll keep seeing me here, Dean.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you were telling me before we went on the air that somebody described you as Chicago actor Frank Ferranti. That's not a terrible thing to be called.
Honored. And that's, you know, when I was a boy, I was reading all about Chicago theater and Steppenwolf and the Goodman. I was familiar, the Royal George. I knew what these theaters were when I was 11, 12 years old. And I used to read Variety. My father got me a subscription to a weekly Variety.
Wow.
I was 13.
Other kids are reading Archie comic books. You're reading Variety.
Yes.
That says everything you need to know about Frank Ferranti. Ferranti. Let me take a break. We'll come back and talk about what else you're working on. Our Week in Theater segment sponsored by the Lyric Opera of Chicago. My beautiful day. It is a beautiful day, and I hope you get to enjoy it somehow today. 10:50, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Always a beautiful morning around here when Frank Ferranti stops by. He's the star of the new show that is called, what do I call this exactly? Do I call it Cabaret Zazu's Luminaire?
Yeah.
Or do I just say Luminaire?
I would just say Cabaret Zazu is what it is. I think Cabaret Zazu will always be the name. It's the name. That's actually,
I like saying Zazu.
Who doesn't?
It's a funny word.
And it's got a good Z sound. It's like Neil Simon would say, K's are funny, cookie is funny. You know, but Z is a great sound.
Zazu.
So, but yeah, Cabaret Zazu. And the theme of the show, Luminaire, is light. And the juggler deals with light. And we're adding candelabras and there's chandeliers. Luminaire is the theme. So yeah. The themes will change every 6 to 8 months. But Cabaret Zazu is what we should know it as.
So a text poured in from the 312 area code. Frank Ferranti was supposed to star in Chicago in a Groucho play. And then COVID happened. Will he do Groucho here in the future? Frank actually did a Groucho show.
That's true.
Here in Chicago. John is the name on this. I'm sorry you missed it because it was really fun. I did it on a night that Teatro Zanzani was off and did his one-man Groucho show, which was I'm still exhausted from watching you go through that. I mean, you have energy to no end.
Thank you.
But this your Groucho show you took to a video.
Yes.
DVD.
Yes.
Which has been playing on PBS for the last several months.
It has. And I did play here last year. And I'll play here again. And I'm trying to figure out what the best month will be. I'm here through April, and then there'll be a whole new cast. So I just need to pick the date. And I'm thinking March. So, John, come keep your eyes open, and you'll see me do Groucho Live in that tent on Randolph in the theater district at Cabaret Zazu. But it's so funny. I traveled. You know, I always ask the producer before I come, I mean, should we do my show? Can I do my show? Yeah, Frank. Yeah, Stan Fay goes, yeah, bring it out. Bring your stuff. So I have a suitcase just with
all your Groucho stuff?
Yeah, cigars, the tailcoat, you know, a duck. And so
I would love for you to get stopped at TSA and have them go through that.
Well, funny you should say that, Dean. This has happened so many times. They know me at LAX, and now they know me at O'Hare. So they pulled my suitcase out this time, and they're pulling out cigars that look like dynamite sticks. I've got like face powder that looks like gunpowder.
Yeah.
They can't see through the candlestick phone. No one knows what a candlestick phone is.
Right.
And they started looking through it, and they started laughing. And this woman looked at me and said, "Welcome back, Mr. Ferrante."
Oh, that's funny.
This has happened before. So
that's hilarious.
Well, so I will be doing it, and I love doing it. And as you know, a lot of my work is inspired by Groucho's wit and madness and wildness and sense of fun. And it's silliness, too. As witty as he was and as intellectual as he was, basically we're laughing at how silly he is and the fact that he's rule-breaking. There's nothing wrong with silly, and I've been really contemplating. I'm a middle-aged man who works in the world of silly, and I'm glad. That's not a bad legacy.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a fun thing to have happen.
Yeah.
So when you left Zanzani,
mm-hmm.
You went back to your native California.
I did.
Even though you are a Chicago actor.
Yes.
Now, Chicago actor, mm-hmm. Frank Ferranti. Went
yes.
back to California, where you used to live,
mm-hmm.
and you were doing some shows there, and like the stars are coming out to see Frank Ferranti while you're performing. Some of your heroes,
yes.
coming out to see you perform.
Yes, well, I have quite a few comedy heroes that are still with us. Bill Irwin is one. That was a thrill. Robin Williams is no longer with us. He's one of my heroes. I was able to perform for him. But Pee Wee Herman was at my show in July in Los Angeles, right downtown. I was born right downtown, blocks from this venue. My father, my family grew up around downtown L.A. But Pee Wee Herman, who to me is a god, to me is one of the greatest comedy creations of all time. He was there. And I got the greatest compliment. He said, "Frank, you're a great improviser." It's like, oh, I can stop right now.
Yeah.
But it was his birthday this week. Did you see that?
I didn't notice that.
Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens, turned 70 years old
what?
This week. But he's eternally Young.
He's eternally 8 years old.
Yeah.
I wish I could find some of his old Pee Wee Playhouses. I'm sure they're available. I haven't really
looked.
You would
looked, think so.
They, but I used to love that show.
Completely original. And people like Pee Wee Herman inspire me, because my job is I'm trying to take people on this strange little journey with my characters. I want them to believe this is real. I believe Pee Wee was real, whatever he did. Dame Edna Everage, for those who know, to me, is hilarious. One of the greatest performers of all time in comedy and comedy improv.
Yeah.
Robin Williams was one of the quickest minds of all time. So these are the people I study. And but yeah, to meet Pee Wee was something else. I've been really lucky. I remember Sean Penn came to a show. He's not funny, but he's talented.
He came to see you perform for Sean Penn.
Yeah, that was a blast.
Boy, talk about trying to make somebody laugh.
Well, that's a scary idea. Here he was in the center ring.
Afraid he'd get up and like beat me up. And,
and we ended up becoming friends, but he saw me do Groucho and also saw me do the Caesar character. But I had the same thing. If I can make him laugh, I'm good.
Yeah.
But he's got a great sense of humor. And then we ended up hanging out and
really?
Having one too many drinks. And
wait a minute. You went out drinking with Sean
Yes,
Penn?
I did. It's an odd thought, isn't it?
Wow. What was that like?
Well, I mean, he's fun. And, you know, what can I say?
That's the first time that word has ever been in the same sentence as the name Sean Penn.
Well, he's it's funny. We were driving in his car and the windows are shut, and then he can scream and yell and be himself. Everyone recognizes him. They probably thought I was his valet. Who knows? But, you know, he's a theater guy himself. Wow. So he can appreciate live theater. His family comes from theater.
Yeah.
His brothers are theatrical. So he had an appreciation for the Groucho show and for this variety show format. And I think he liked the weirdness of my guys because he's a madman himself. So yes. I think he liked that my guy was out of control.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm scared of you now that I know all this.
I think the three of us should hang out. What do you say?
I would love that. You can't even imagine. Cabaret Zazu's Luminaire will begin on September the 7th at Hotel Cambria in Chicago. You can get ticket info by going to BroadwayInChicago.com, or you can call 312-488-0900. Friend of Sean Penn. That's how I'm going to call you. That's how I'm going to refer to you from now on.
Oh, dang.
Sean Penn's best friend, Frank Ferranti, starring in it all. And we'll talk more as the show goes on.
I would love it. I'm so happy. My brother lives here with my sister-in-law. My daughter just transferred to DePaul. I really am Chicago actor Frank Ferrante.
Look at you. Look at
you. Look at you.
I'll see you at the Jewel in no time at all.
I was there last night.
Of course you
were. I was. That was at the Jewel Osco. I bought some wine and milk.
Oh.
Milk for coffee in the morning, wine to help me sleep at night.
In case Sean Penn stops.
Now, come on now. Now, cut that out. No.
So, guys, I've never had a problem like this before.
Oh.
Where I can't get rid of a guest.
Wasn't that the Saturday Night Live skit, the guest that would not leave?
Yeah, that's Frank. Yeah. That's Frank Ferrante.
Yeah.
He won't leave.
This is the most socializing I've done in the last week.
this is the first person he's talked to who has not been out of trapeze.
That's right. But enough about my personal life. But I want to tell
you. You can stay if you want to.
Well, this is fun. I mean, do have to rehearse, but I like hanging out here with you.
Well, when do you have to start rehearsing?
I don't know. At noon, I work with the drummer. His percussionist. His name is Jose.
What does that mean? You have to work with a drummer.
It's not a euphemism, Dean. It's true.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, my show, act.
He's going to beat on the drum, and you're going to.
Well, you've seen my act.
You're going to do a funny dance.
Well, yeah. And, you know, he gives me buttons and he gives me a little underscore. And we're a team. I've worked with this guy for a dozen years. Yeah. So I'll be in the lobby doing my
shtick. You don't need to rehearse. You've worked for a dozen years.
That's true. But this is all new material. Dean, you can come with us. Come hang out with us. You, me, and a trapeze artist. And two margaritas.
That's a nightmare that I had once. So.
Sorry.
Well, you're welcome to stick around if you
want.
Well,
I like it here. I like Chicago. I got a great view.
Yeah. Otherwise, somebody call security. It's 11:10. This is Dean Richards Sunday morning. This is for you, Frank.
I love it.
This is entirely for you.
Pee-wee's
Playhouse.
Yes.
Cherry. The talking chair. And what was the head?
Oh,
Jambi?
Oh, Jambi. I love that actor.
Mecca-hi-ho.
The great John Paragon played that role, who was a great improv artist, just passed away last year. I love John Paragon.
Yeah. You just keep talking because I want to watch this on
All right, you watch
YouTube.
It. So when I was performing for Pee-wee.
I'm just going to watch TV while Frank talks.
And you're getting paid too, right?
Well, not much.
Okay. Don't stop. Tell me how it goes. How's it end?
Oh, it's funny. It's
every time I would do my acts for Pee-wee Herman, I would I'd walk by him and just bow.
Yeah.
I literally genuflected before Pee-wee.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right, but...
What kind of reaction do you get from the... Do you get fan mail?
I do.
Actual letters?
Emails. Emails. People can find you on social media, and you get all kinds of strange, wonderful feedback. I've got fans who are 90, women that like me. Yeah, that's my crowd. And
same as Andy Mazur, our sports guy.
Yeah, what does he get?
Andy, you got a lot of 90-year-olds who love you, don't you?
Yeah, I'm big with the 90-year-olds.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to do the whole rest home tour together. It'll be fun.
Nice.
But, yeah, I do. Kevin,
if you stick on the show, Kevin Wells is filling in doing news today.
Mm-hmm.
Good. You stick on the show, we'll get you all the 90-year-olds you want.
Well, there you have it. I have nothing against it, really. In fact, you know, not yet. If that's not a filthy line, I don't know what is. But I do. I get mail. You know what's fun is people starting to come in from all over to see a show. If I'm in Chicago, people will fly in from Seattle or drive several hours to see it. That's fun. And you build, after 35 years of performing on stage, you get people that like you.
You get fans.
You get, I hate to use the word, but yes, yeah. I guess. Yeah, followers.
Nice.
Are you going to read a card to me?
Well, I'm going to your point about this.
Yes.
You know, it used to be, like when I first started here at WGN back in the 1940s,
I'm listening.
All people ever did was, you know, they would write a letter. They'd write, you know, mm-hmm. something nice, or sometimes it was a letter with cutout letters in it that were all pasted together.
I'm sorry I sent that.
A little weird. But I think it's nice when somebody sends you an actual letter. They've taken the time to sit down, to put pen to paper, in this case, pen to card,
mm-hmm.
Greeting card. And they sent a nice card in. This is from Maureen. Looks like, I'm going to say the Mount Greenwood area by the address here.
I wish you would read it. Is that going to happen, Dean? I'm really excited.
That was the setup, Frank. Relax. I know you have to go and rehearse with your drummer for 35 years. it says, Mr. Richards, I always look forward to your radio program every Sunday. I even take the radio with while I walk my dog so I don't miss anything. That's nice, isn't it?
Wonderful.
Somebody with their, you know, their radio and their pooch out there. And, you know, she's telling me about a concert that I should know about, and says that she plays the flute.
Interesting. It's lovely.
Nice, isn't it?
It's very nice. And
she sent two cards.
Really?
Two separate cards. Two separate stamps.
It's thoughtful. Very thoughtful.
It's a lot of effort and work.
But I will say, I put cards up in my dressing room, and I appreciate it, and I respond to everyone who writes to me.
Yeah, that's nice of you.
And, well, I'm grateful, because I'm in a fortunate position to be able to do what I love.
Right.
And,
well, thank you. Thank you, Maureen.
Why are you calling me Maureen now? That's not my weekend name.
Thank you, Maureen.
Why am I now Maureen?
Beatrice, all right.
There you go. There. I like B.
I think it's very nice when somebody
it's great
takes that time to do all that.
You know, I've played so many suburbs around Chicago that it's so fun to have, you know, someone, you know, meet them again, someone from Arlington Heights or Skokie or Barrington. I'm an old vaudevillian. It's been fun coming back to right downtown and then saying, I saw you 25 years ago. I saw you 10 years ago. Sometimes it'll be a kid who saw me when they were 7 and they're now 30-something years old.
It's nice that you made an impression.
Yeah. It makes me feel good. So it's great to be here.
That's very nice.
Maureen's been at my show a few times, but she mentioned you.
Did she ever send you any cards?
Never.
No. There you go. There's the difference.
Damn.
I don't want to brag, but she invested two stamps in me. I think that's like $12 worth of stamps.
It is now. You're right about that.
I think something like
here's
that.
Here's to Maureen. And to all the Marines.
To all the Marines I've known before.
That's right. Did you ever join the Marines when you were a kid?
No, they didn't want me.
No, sorry. Flat feet.
Do you know who Kevin Smith is? Pardon me?
Kevin Smith, the director.
What'd you say about my feet? We don't talk about...
Call me Beatrice when you address me.
We do not talk about feet enough on this show.
No,
I don't think we ever have, really.
Shouldn't we make a change?
I'll be listening next week. We'll start a new bunion feature.
Oh, that's good. You went straight to the bunions. I have to talk about my bunions, actually. After 35 years of trotting the boards, of working on stage, All right. Maybe your listeners can send in photos. Maybe Maureen can send in a photo.
You know what? Send them to Frank over at the Hotel Cambria.
Oh, come on.
I think he'd be much more interested in feet photographs than I would.
This took an ugly turn, Dean.
Kevin Smith,
the director?
The director.
Yes.
Has a new movie, Clerks 3. He's got his third movie, based on the kind of, doofus loser kind of movie that came out over 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago, something. Clerks 3 with the original cast.
Wow.
It's going to be coming out. I talked to him the other day. We're going to share that interview. That's if producer Jack is done cutting out all the swearing that we both did in the interview. I don't know why I was feeling, normally I don't do that in an interview. But
that's a bunion, right? That's a bunion right there, Dean.
Let me just say, in my many years here at WGN Radio, that you are the first person ever to take their shoe and sock off.
Oh, it feels good.
And us without a webcam. Why should I be? Why should Jack and I be the only ones?
You lucky
to
duo.
Enjoy this.
I remember there was the webcam for a while. I think I was your first guy back during the pandemic.
Right.
There was webcam back then.
We did have webcams back then. But
I kept my shoes on.
People kept coming in, taking their shoes and socks off. So we got rid of all the cameras. We thought we were done with all that. But as it turns out, that's not the case. Kevin Smith talked to me about his new movie. It's a really interesting interview, and we'll get to that coming up in a little while. And have you ever heard of this guy called Sting?
Yes, I'm aware of Sting.
Singer by the by the name of Sting.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he was used to be in a band called The Police, and now he's on his own. And he's at Ravinia. He was there last night, and he's there tonight. Frank is struggling putting his socks and shoes back on right now. So I give the play by play. We did an interview with Sting several years ago, and I thought since he's in town this weekend, we're going to replay that coming up in a little while.
This is a good idea.
Yeah. So what's it going to take to get you to get the hell out of here?
I'm good. I'm going to go rehearse. I love you, Dean. It's good to be here. Thank you.
I'm kidding. You can stay.
This is fun.
If you stay, you have to go along with what we're doing in the show, though.
Just don't do my own shows, what you're saying.
I can't continue to plug your show.
Really?
Cabaret,
you mean Cabaret Zazu?
Cabaret Zazu Luminaire.
Yes, at 32 West Randolph.
32 West Randolph.
CabaretZazu.com.
Hotel Cambria.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
BroadwayInChicago.com, 312-488-0900. If you want to get more information. I couldn't possibly plug that.
Don't promote the most entertaining show in town in the most interesting venue in the country. Do not do that.
No.
And I'll tell you what. I say half price for everyone who comes barefoot.
Wow.
I'm going to propose that.
Wow.
On September 6th, the day before we open.
All right. It's going to be a very aromatic preview performance coming up soon. Stick around here. Okay, why isn't this working? Something's not working. All right, say a joke now, because I was hoping for the joke, and then we go right to the commercial.
A joke?
Yeah.
Any joke?
Yeah.
Any joke at all?
Yeah, see, you're not that funny.
What kind of...
11:23, Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. So this is the new collaboration, Britney Spears and Elton John. Seriously, I can't get rid of Frank Ferranti.
I thought this was going to be a catered affair. I'm sticking around till the food shows up.
He's the guest that won't go away.
Oh, no. I'm just going to pull up a little. Do you have a pillow?
Make yourself at home, Frank.
Oh, it's cozy here.
It's what you did about 10, 20 minutes ago. And by the way, he did take a picture of himself without a shoe or sock on here in the studio, which we will be posting on social media.
That's great.
Later on, so people can. What do you think of this song? Can you hear it?
Is this Elton John?
Headphones?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Elton John and Britney Spears.
Wow. Did you meet Elton when he was here in Chicago not too long ago?
No, he did not meet with the press while he was here. No.
Have you interviewed Elton before?
I have. I've interviewed him several times.
And your experience was?
He's a rocket man.
That's right.
Yeah.
When he's not a tiny dancer.
Right.
I love Elton John.
This is his remix of Tiny Dancer. It's called Hold Me Closer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's him and Britney Spears, who you can barely hear in the song. I like it. It's happy and everything. I can't hear any Britney Spears in here.
Yeah.
I want to hear some Britney Spears.
Yes. Well, the both of them are relentless forces. I am a Elton John fan. He's never stopped fighting the showbiz fight, and I admire it.
Yeah.
Reinvents. He did Aida, and now Devil Wears Prada.
Lion King.
Lion King, which I've never seen, and I'm going to see it for the first time in Chicago.
What?
I've had friends who are in the Broadway production. I've had friends who tour with it, but I've never seen Lion King. And I will see it right here at the Cadillac Palace, which is right down the street
From the street from Hotel Cambria, where this show that you're allegedly in.
You could be a little more specific, Dean,
that you
please.
Obviously don't care enough about to go and rehearse.
That's right. This is much more fun, it turns out, Gene.
Just hanging out here all morning.
Don't stop.
Cabaret Zazu. Zazu or Zazu?
I think Cabaret.
How fancy do I get?
Yeah, as fancy as you like, Dean. You're Dean Richards. Be fancy.
Cabaret Zazu.
That's good. Cabaret Zazu. Crazy.
Luminaire.
Luminaire.
Luminaire is what it's called. That opens, September 7th? BroadwayInChicago.com.
And I'll be doing the comedy from then until through April, so I'll be here for most of the seasons.
Oddly, it feels like you've been in the studio since last April. I don't know what that means exactly.
It feels good. It's homey here. I wish all your listeners could just spend a little time here in this studio with us.
Yeah, you are the first person, by the way, in the history of, WGN's been on the air for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
You are the first person ever to take their shoe and sock off.
Really?
During an interview. Margaret Thatcher never did it.
Are you sure?
President Jimmy Carter never did it.
He should have.
Lauren Bacall never did it. We've had all the greats here.
Wow.
You are the first person ever to take their shoe and sock off and put your bare foot up out on the table and take a photograph of it.
You know the funny thing? Well, thank you. I'm honored. Another Chicago first for Frank Ferrante.
Another WGN. We go into our second century now with without shoes and socks.
Yes, and you know what I found that came out of my shoe and sock was some glitter.
Yeah,
you can tell it.
Whoever's the next guest to sit in that chair it's going to be one lucky person on the Steve Dale show coming up later on.
This is eBay material, really. But I found a little sparkly confetti from the circus.
Oh.
You know, when you work in the circus like I have since 2001, you're going to find glitter. You're going to find sparkles.
Hmm.
I find it everywhere. It's in my suitcases, it's in my clothing. There are places you don't want to hear about. And yes, my socks. Okay, Dean?
How do you get sequins or whatever glitter?
It's glitter.
How do you get it in your sock? Inside your socks. How do you get it there?
They're everywhere. And I'll leave it here for your next guest. I'm sorry Margaret Thatcher couldn't have lived to experience this.
We've had all the greats here on WGN through the years.
And then there was me, don't forget.
Right.
Dean,
picture in the hallway of Eleanor Roosevelt.
Really?
At WGN.
How was she to like to interview?
She had a good-looking foot.
Yes.
She had a nice-looking...
Well, no one could rock a bunion like Eleanor Roosevelt. You know that. So, said FDR. Anyhow, that being said, it's a joy to be here with you, Dean. Again.
Apparently.
And I'm going to go in that corner over there and just ignore me, all right? Just ignore me because, you know...
Honestly, for about the last 20 minutes, I've been doing that.
But, you know, that's what I love about you. And just keep ignoring me. You know how much I don't like attention. That's why I chose the stage.
That's right.
Frank Ferrante,
I got nothing. I got nothing unless you want to talk about the Video Music Awards or something.
Nah. But you're about to say Frank Ferrante, so why should I stop you?
Yeah, please don't, because I was just going to thank you for stopping by.
Okay.
And thank you for stopping by. And I guess I should add on, it's usually just assumed, and also leaving.
Well, I can't wait to see you again. What are you doing tomorrow?
I'm not available.
Okay.
I'll be out of the country tomorrow.
Okay. I'll see you then.
His show is Cabaret Zazu's Luminaire, and despite what you've heard here for the last hour, is quite entertaining. And we're looking forward to seeing it. It's going to open on September the 7th. At Hotel Cambria. And how do we get ticket information again?
I think it would be through Cabaret Zazu, and that's ZAZAU.com.
Okay.
Cabaret Zazu. And I guarantee you a very fun evening.
Yeah, dinner, theater, music, comedy, just everything.
Full bar,
Broadway,
full band.
BroadwayInChicago.com.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to the show, ask to see Frank's feet.
And that won't even be extra. I'll pay you. Thank you, Dean. It's a joy as ever. Thank you for welcoming back.
Nice
to my...
Nice to see you. Now we're shutting the station down for the next few hours. One of my favorite Sting songs. 1137 WGN. Andy, did he perform this one at Ravinia last night?
He did not. This is on the list of those that I believe were ignored.
Big omissions. Maybe he's going to do them tonight.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because there's
got so many hits. Maybe he splits them up.
And you know, there's an app or a website you can go to, setlist.fm.
Oh.
And it'll tell you all the sets that they've performed in the previous shows.
Yeah.
And he went off script from the night before that, wherever he was. So it might be a little different tonight.
Yeah, I would hope that he would change it up a little bit. Although my guess is that there wouldn't be a lot of repetition of, audience there. But last night was sold out. Tonight is sold out at Ravinia. Certainly going to be one of the concert events of the year. And Andy Mazur, as I like to call him now, the Irv Kupcinet of the new millennium.
Yes.
Was hobnobbing at Ravinia last night.
Yes, I was.
Did you do more hobbing or nobbing?
It was more hobbing because there was not a lot of room to move. So you had to kind of hob rather than the knob.
It's difficult to knob when there's that many people in any one venue.
Correct.
But anyway, he puts on a great show. And the one and only time that I've interviewed Sting was in 2013 when his show called The Last Ship made its pre-Broadway debut here in Chicago. This is the title track from that
show. And the sad ghosts of men who they thought long deceased, and whatever got sad, they'd be counted at least. When the last ship sailed.
I'm guessing he did not sing this one last night also.
He did not. He omitted this one as well.
I'm guessing he probably would like to kind of forget that whole thing. I don't remember any specifics. I remember not liking the show. And I did not give it a good review. And then it went to New York, and it also did not get good reviews. And they tried to retool it and change it, and just the whole thing didn't work out, unfortunately. But good for him for, giving it a try. But when he was here, we talked about his show, The Last Ship, and we talked, about his career in music and the Police and all that. This goes back to 2013, our A-list interview with Sting. Welcome back to Chicago.
Nice to be back in Chicago.
Tell us a little bit about The Last Ship and what we are going to experience before New York, before the world gets
well. I'm glad we're coming to Chicago first. It's a town I'm extremely fond of. I'm from a little town in the northeast of England, a shipyard town, and I was born in the shadow of a shipyard. And my earliest memory is of the biggest ships in the world at the end of my street. And I decided about 3 years ago to try and write a dramatic piece about my community and what happened to that community when the shipyard was closed. And this is it. It's The Last Ship. I think the people of Chicago will understand the themes, what happens in a post-industrial economy and what happens to community. So it's an important play.
You talked about in this presentation that we saw similarities that you think there are between where you grew up and what people here in Chicago and the Midwest might be experiencing, especially at this time where the economy is what it is and people are struggling.
I think these are universal themes, and my feeling is that in the past 20, 30 years, economic theory has trumped community. But, for a balanced economy, we need community. Community needs to be supported. Without community, there is no economy. And so that's one of the themes of the play.
I was surprised when you said that you had not written music in 10 years. That just seems shocking.
Well, I haven't been idle. I was touring a lot, and I recorded work by other composers. But I just kind of lost the passion, really. And I've always said, if you've got nothing to say, just shut up. But of course I was worried about that, and then I realized I was just getting in the way, and there's a certain amount of navel gazing that goes on as a songwriter. As soon as I started writing for other people, for other voices than my own, for other characters, for actors, then they flowed thick and fast. So I just got out of the way, took myself out of the equation, and bingo.
Is it significantly different to write music that has a narrative, that is musical theater, as opposed to all the songs that we have grown up with that you've brought us on the radio?
Well, I mean, I've enjoyed writing narrative songs in the past, but it's not a prerequisite for Top 40. You know, at Top 40, you can sing about one emotion for 3 minutes, and you just go round and round in a loop. But musical theater demands that the narrative is advanced. The story begins here, and by the end of the song, the story has to be told. So that was a great discipline for me, and it's one that I've done before, but it's a very precise and exacting medium, and I'm really challenged by it, but I adore it. I really have so much fun.
Was it a little scary in the beginning? Very different. I mean, you hadn't done it for 10 years, number one, but so different than songs that you've written.
Oh, writing for musical theater is a terrifying concept. You know, as I said, the landscape is littered with bleached corpses. You know, it's a tough one, but one shouldn't be daunted, and one should just carry on. I did it with humility, I think.
What are your Chicago memories that you have from performing here? As you had mentioned, you played Soldier Field to the smallest clubs.
I started here in a winter of 79. It was very cold. I played in a little club owned by one of the members of Chicago called Beginnings.
Oh, yeah.
In the suburbs. And then we just went on, you know, gradually getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I've played everything here. So Chicago for me is in a very, very important market. It's a wonderful place to begin this play, and I'm thrilled that we're here. I think Chicago will get it, and I can't wait to come.
What's the process now for you with this? Are you continuing to tweak?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the story is still morphing. We're still casting, and you know, you add something here, and it creates a problem there. It's a kind of three-dimensional jigsaw, a fascinating one. But I imagine, well, hopefully by June we'll have solved all of those problems. But we're in pretty good shape, and we're very confident and extremely excited and galvanized.
I you know, put on social media that we were going to be talking to you today, and I am flooded with questions of people asking. Most of the questions: will you ever be performing with the Police again?
No, I don't think so.
Not going to happen.
No, we did that. Oh, I'm an alien. I'm a legal
alien. I'm an Englishman in New York. An Englishman in Highland Park. Tonight, one more show for Sting at Ravinia tonight. It's completely sold out. The 2013 conversation that we had with him back in the day. It's 11:45. When we come back, we continue with our A-list interviews. Director Kevin Smith talks about Clerks 3 next. 11:48. Dean Richards, Sunday morning. WGN, continuing with our A-list interview, sponsored by the Lyric Opera of Chicago. Today, getting ready for a third installment of what's become the sort of a cult classic. The movie Clerks first came out back in 1994, a new genre of indie film, a comedy about a bunch of these dopes that all work in a convenience store. Dante and Randall and Jay and Silent Bob. The whole thing, the idea of director Kevin Smith, actor Kevin Smith. Put out a second Clerks film several years ago, and now a third Clerks film is going to be opening week after next. And we had a chance to sit down and talk with Kevin about the motion picture, about the, you know, this whole franchise, and these guys, you know, reviving these same characters, these very, you know, sort of Beavis and Butthead like characters, all these years later. It's a pretty interesting conversation. And Kevin and I talked a little about the city of Chicago.
Any good Chicago stories? Chicago,
Chicago.
Live here?
Yeah, absolutely. I've never lived there, but deeply connected to the city. It's always been a part of my career. You know, I started with a very small movie that played on art house screens, and so they start you in New York and L.A., and then when they expand you out, the next city you open in is Chicago. And I was always a big fan of Chicago. I had an uncle that lived out there. I visited when I was a kid. So I started interacting with the city, like, from Clerks on. And let me tell you something. The folks of Illinois have always welcomed me as one of their own, man. Clearly, they can sense somebody that likes deep dish as much as them. They've always welcomed us. And, like, the Jay and Silent Bob Reboot Roadshow Tour in 2019, the best screening, two of them, back-to-back, was at the Music Box Theater. So much so that, like, I'm out there about to start the Clerks 3 tour because of that night. We had premiered in New Jersey the night before, and I thought, like, oh my God, the movie will never play better than it played right here in New Jersey. And the very next night was Chicago at the Music Box, and it played through the roof. It made New Jersey look shameful. I was like, never mind New Jersey. I should be from Chicago. So I couldn't wait to get back to the Music Box with Clerks 3, man, to get back to Chicago and show people this flick. They've always been a big, deep part of my creative DNA.
I think, don't you think there's like a kind of a no vibe to Chicago and also your movies? It's like warts and all. And I think Chicagoans really appreciate that.
I think that means Chicagoans appreciate the good folks in New Jersey. Essentially, New Jersey, Chicago, or New Jersey, Illinois, you got two states full of people that work, that make the country run and stuff. And I think because the folks in New Jersey forged me, I think I play well in Chicago because of that. There's a certain authenticity that both of those places have to them. When you tell people in this world you're from Chicago, instantly like, oh, you get an air of credibility maybe you don't even deserve. Same thing with New Jersey. Whenever I tell people I'm from New Jersey my whole career, people are like, oh, New Jersey, well. It lends you get a little bit of Springsteen's authenticity, of Bon Jovi's authenticity, working class authenticity, even though, you know, my whole career is predicated on a movie about working class that delivered me from the working class to the filmmaking people.
With all these movies, what do you attribute to this? Is it that kind of working class, they're just like me kind of vibe? Do you think that powers this?
I think in the case of Clerks, like, people just recognize, like, oh my God, that's what I do at my job. Like, I don't do my job at my job. I do anything other than my job to get me through my job. So I think that's what that movie has going for it. And people like their friendship. Everyone always likes to believe they got somebody in their life that they're that tight with and whatnot. And that movie reeks of authenticity because of it, because it was made by a guy who was literally working in retail when he made that movie. So it's weird to make a Clerks 3 and work in retail in a completely different way. Back when I made the first movie, I was an employee. Now I'm an employer. I own retail establishments and whatnot. And the whole, like, you know, this job would be great if we're in front of customers of old goes out the window once you own the business, you know. So I think what I could not bring to Clerks 3 in terms of authenticity of somebody who's in the trenches dealing with the public and whatnot, public facing, I could bring authenticity in the way of, like, oh, I'll put my heart attack in the movie. That's real, and that happened to me. And making Clerks became the focus of Clerks 3, and that was real, and that happened to me. In that way, it's not that dissimilar from the first Clerks, which was just predicated on my life at the time, working in that convenience store. I find my always plays best if I crib from my real life as closely as I can. Otherwise, you know, it's like Tusk, and people are like, where'd that come from?
Right. It sure seems like there is such a natural chemistry between all of you guys, or else you are each Meryl Streep in your own way with, you know, phenomenal acting.
Jersey native. It also rubs off.
Also a Jersey native. Talk to me about this. You guys can just read each other before any lines are ever read. Is that right?
I would think so, absolutely, by this point. You know, you're talking about, well, me and Jay have played these characters again and again and again, Jay and Silent Bob. Brian and Jeff have definitely played Dante and Randall now probably 6 times over the course of their lives. I mean, and then include every episode of the cartoon that we ever did. So, you know, I script pretty heavy, so everything's right there on the page, and the boys are loyal to the script. They, you know, they don't really ever try to ad lib or anything like that. But it's just like, you know, you'd read stories about people who played on a line with Wayne Gretzky, and they talk about how it would pass without even looking to you and just knew that you'd be there. same thing here. You know, when you've got that much familiarity, team familiarity with the people that you play with, because that's what it is. It's a game, right? We get to play. We get to make pretend for a living. Then you can pass without looking and know that that it's going to wind up right on the fat end of their stick because they're as seasoned at this as you are at this point.
You know, this past week, really, we've been reporting on your pals, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez and their wedding and the amazing celebration. You know, when you're reading it, celebrities are going to be there and Kevin Smith's going to be there. So you're just coming off the big Jen and Ben weekend. You know, I want to respect their privacy, but, you know, at the same time, did you have a great time? Was it really fun?
Yeah, absolutely. Without, you know, it's their day to talk about, and they will, I'm sure, eventually. But from my perspective, one of the top five most beautiful moments of my life, and it wasn't my life, it wasn't my moment, it was theirs. But being witness to it was incredibly special. You know, I was there when the kids started their relationship, and watching them close the circle, stick the landing, and land so elegantly. It was beautiful. It was one of the most romantic things I've ever seen. Make you believe in true love. And, you know, I've known that dude for a long time now, 3 decades almost at this point. I met him back in 95 when we were auditioning on Mallrats. So I've seen him be happy. You know, I've seen the face of happiness when Ben Affleck's been happy across various moments of his career, and he's always had much to be happy about. I've never seen him happier than when he was standing there watching her walk down the aisle. It was absolutely bliss.
There's Kevin Smith talking about being at the wedding of Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck. We'll have much more on the WGN-TV Morning News. I'm so fascinated by this Artemis mission that you were just talking about.
I am, too. I can't wait. I love learning about this stuff.
I love learning about space exploration. I love that they're going back to the moon, you know, as a stepping stone, I guess they're saying, to Mars.
Yeah, the plan, I think, for this one is this is an unmanned flight, so it's just going to be mannequins there. They're going to test it out, see if they can go to the moon, and then they want to actually take this next mission to Mars at some point. This will be like, it'll be like Artemis will be the mission to Mars. So it's cool. We're getting close, and I just feel like with those, you know, the release of those star photos like a month or so back.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool.
It's just the progress they're making is just really incredible.
Now, do they get mannequins from Macy's? Why mannequins? Why do they need mannequins in there?
I don't know. Maybe
in case they run into extraterrestrials, they want it to look like people are in the. You know how
they
the police
want to see if they'll engage with them.
Yeah, you know, like sometimes in police cars they put mannequins in there to make it look like a police officer is actually in the car, so people slow down. Is that
maybe they're convinced that there is something out there? Who knows? I mean, that could be why. Because honestly, I don't know. Maybe it's just to really, maybe it's for the cameras back at you know, wherever they're doing this from. Maybe they can actually video in and see how it's looking, see how the, you know, test the safety features of the rocket, you know, seat belts and whatnot. That's my assumption. I would
seem like
guess.
You'd be able to do all that without having an actual mannequin sitting there.
Put like a, what would you put there instead?
Just the computers. Seems like they'd be
empty
able
seats?
To measure anything. I don't know.
Be See, a fun I'm, fact for the elevator.
Here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that some extraterrestrials are going to come by, see that, and think that that's what we look like. That we all look like, and that our hands fall off at a moment's notice. 12:11, Dean Richards. Sunday morning on WGN. Sunday afternoon now on WGN. Thank you so much for being here on this gorgeous morning. Apparently about to turn into a not so gorgeous Sunday afternoon and evening. We are expecting some pretty severe rain by all accounts to come through the area. We hope to get you some updates on that coming up in just a few minutes. Also coming up in a few minutes, we'll get into our Food Time show today. I don't know anybody that has a backyard garden that, you know, they don't put tomatoes in. It seems like that's the number one thing you put in your backyard gardens. And the tomatoes are coming in like crazy. Late August is when, you know, things start to, you know, ripen and get ready to pick and are amazing and delicious. And I can't get enough. As I've said a couple of times, I didn't put anything in the ground this year. I was having some work done on my deck, and just the whole thing was just a mess. While the construction was going on, where I normally would put my garden, there was lawn, you know, outdoor furniture and, you know, things like that. So, poor Dean, wah, wah, I didn't have any tomatoes that I could grow myself this year. But fortunately, I've got generous neighbors and friends that have been sharing their tomatoes, because everybody's got like 100 tomatoes sitting on their kitchen counters right now. So people have been super nice in sharing all that. So coming up on the food show, our food segment, I'm going to share some tomato recipes that we did on television the other day. But mostly I want to open up the phone lines for you to share some of your favorite tomato recipes. We did a couple of these last week. And we're going to just cover it a little bit more, because we got so many requests and interest in it. So that's coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. I want to acknowledge, we're going to thank you so much for all the calls every Sunday morning, for the hilarious texts that people send in. Somebody, you know, we were talking about, Kevin, we were talking about the mannequins in the, is that the spaceship itself that's called Artemis, or is that the name of the mission?
I think that's just the name of the mission, but let me triple check to make sure.
I was just curious, but somebody, you know, somebody is, we got a bunch of texts on that subject saying that mannequins are also used in crash tests for cars. So the text says, I imagine full weight mannequins duplicate, you know, humans, useful for space tests.
Yeah, they want to test maybe like the seat belts and whatnot, make sure everything is all secure in there just in case. That makes sense.
Yeah. That kind of makes sense. And maybe they have, I would imagine, you know, these are super high tech mannequins, right? That might have sensors of, is there certain, you know, being in space and what they're going to do in space, does it have an effect on the heart area, on, you know, certain parts of the body where health may be related? So,
and I am looking too. The Artemis 1 is actually, that's the name of the rocket. It's a 322-foot rocket. Will attempt to send an empty crew capsule into far-flung orbit. So, okay. Far-flung orbit.
Yeah. So, you know, I was talking about how they put mannequins sometimes in police cars out on the highways. And somebody said, how about putting, you know, the mannequin for the Artemis mission, put one in like they do police cars, but also put a box of Dunkin' Donuts in the spaceship also. So it fully replicates the police car environment.
People got jokes this morning.
We got comedians. We got tons of comedians listening to this show today. Here's my favorite on this subject. How about a blow-up doll like they had in the Airplane movie?
Oh, gosh.
We have the strangest, weirdest audience in Chicago radio, and that's why I love you all. So thank you very much for all the nice and hilarious texts during the show, the calls during the show. We really appreciate it. The nice letters. We get nice letters, actual handwritten letters in the snail mail. So we appreciate all of that. Very nice of you all. Let me take a break, because I do want to get serious for a second with this severe weather that looks like it's going to be coming through the Chicago area a little bit later on. We'll check in with our WGN Weather Department coming up next. 12:19. Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. And I wanted to get a little update on what's going to be happening weather-wise today. It could not be more gorgeous outside right now. But what a difference a few hours apparently will be making. Bill Snyder is weather producer over at WGN-TV, Tom Skilling's right-hand man, if you will, and he joins us on the phone right now. Bill, thank you for letting me interrupt your Sunday morning. How are you, pal?
You know, Dean, it's a pleasure to talk to you, my friend, and you can interrupt me anytime, buddy.
Well, careful.
How are you doing?
Careful if you say that, because, you know, if we, you know, when we have stuff like what apparently is going to be coming into the Chicago area later, I do want to get a little more information on it, because all the signs are pointing to it's going to be kind of a severe afternoon.
It's possible, Dean. You know, as you mentioned, how, you know, looking out the window now, just how sunny and gorgeous it is, and you know, that's good and bad in the weather terminology here, because what's happening is that this warm, laden, humid atmosphere is setting the stage for what will likely be the development of strong to possibly severe thunderstorms this afternoon. You know, it's noticeably warmer and more humid than certainly it's been in a while. Temperatures across the area, Dean, are bumping up against 90 degrees. And, you know, that type of warm, laden, juicy atmosphere just gives these storms a little bit more oomph to work with. And so that's, you know, kind of when you see that situation develop, it sets off alarm bells in our head. And we certainly will have to keep an eye on it, because as these storms barrel into 90 degree heat, we're in the midst of probably will be the warmest temperature here in 3 weeks. We haven't had a 90 degree temperature. Right. Since back on August the 6th, and you know, as of 12 noon, it was 88 at Midway. So I have every reason to believe they're going to get above 90, and you know, that'll just give these storms you know, more juice to work with. And so we're looking right now, Dean, in the time frame as you know, far northwest Illinois, out, you know, towards Rockford and the Quad Cities, those areas could see storms as early as, you know, 2-3 o'clock. I think for the immediate Chicago area, far western suburbs, probably looking at around 4 o'clock. And then as you get in close into the city of Chicago, it'll probably be somewhere between 5, 6, and 8 o'clock this evening. So if you have outdoor plans, you certainly want to keep an eye to the sky and have your WGN weather app handy in case, you know, any watches or warnings may become necessary as conditions develop.
Yeah, sure. You know, get whatever you need to get done outside done early today.
Right. Exactly. And you know, that's the beauty of you know, summer thunderstorms, because, you know, as we always caution, Dean, is that, you know, they tend to be scattered and not necessarily hit every area the same way. The atmosphere doesn't work that way. So one area may get hit a lot harder than another, and you have other areas that don't get anything. So that's why it's important to you know, to have the, you know, the weather app on your phone, and you know, we'll notify you of your specific area or location if there is a storm that's approaching, or if it's, you know, impending, and it gives you enough time to take cover or get inside.
Yeah, that weather app is I can't even tell you how wonderful and how handy it's become,
right,
in so many ways. Not only with the actual predictions and, you know, things like that, but being able to actually look at the radar and, you know, put it into fast forward, you know.
Exactly. Like, and you know,
Tom Skilling, Bill Snyder mode with my little radar. I don't even know what I'm looking at, but, you know, I feel like I can kind of predict myself what's going to be happening.
We always tell people, Dean, to, you know, to make sure they have, you know, you can easily zone in on your location, and that's important, because not everybody has a general idea of, you know, they might know what their county is, but on a map, they're not able to pinpoint exactly where they live based on the county area. So that's important too. Yeah. But you're right. It does give a general idea of storm movement and where they're developing and where they're going to hit. And I mean, the technology has gotten so much better over the years. I mean, as long as I've been doing this, I'm just amazed at how, you know, how well that we're able to predict, and our computer modeling has gotten so much better. And so we're able to flag this situation down and, you know, and give people enough time to prepare for such type of situation. And the Storm Prediction Center, who issues the outfit in Norman, Oklahoma, they issue our severe thunderstorm watches and our tornado watches. They have upgraded the western portion of our viewing area. So as you get in the Fox Valley, western suburbs, and out towards Rockford, to a level 2 for severe weather today. That's a level 2 out of 5 scale, or a slight risk. The immediate Chicago area is in a level 1 or a marginal risk, which is, you know, it's a low assessment, but it doesn't mean that, you know, all it takes is one storm. And, you know, the primary threat with these storms today is going to be damaging winds. That's you know, we've got enough low level support in the atmosphere. There's enough wind shear that's developing. And so any of these storms that do develop will be able to tap into some of that wind energy and bring that down to the surface. So that's what we're going to be keeping an eye on as far as, you know, the storms. There could be some brief heavy downpours. And, of course, dangerous lightning. You don't want to be outside during that because, you know, lightning is just as dangerous as, you know, as anything else in a thunderstorm. Sure. And so those are the things that we'll be concerned with storms that do develop later this afternoon.
Now, the conditions the way they are, is it possible that tornadoes could develop?
Dean, the tornado threat isn't zero, but it's very low. And again, you know, when you get a severe thunderstorm to pop up, you can never guarantee that you can't get a tornado to spin up out of this situation. But right now, the greatest threat for tornadoes is well up to our north and west out of Illinois. But there is a very, very minimal risk. So not really in Chicago proper, but I'd say out towards, DeKalb County, Kane County, out that area, that there's an off chance that you could get a brief spin up. But this does not look like the type of situation where you're going to produce widespread tornadoes or damaging tornadoes. So that's good. But you know, again, when you're dealing with a severe thunderstorm, it's all academic, because even if you don't get a tornado, as we saw, a couple years ago, Dean, when we had that derecho barrel through the city and had all that tree damage. I mean, you can get a batch of thunderstorms to do plenty of damage without producing a tornado. So it can be as equally destructive.
So mostly you've been talking about western areas, Rockford, Quad Cities.
Those are the areas that seem to have a little bit better upper level support.
Okay, so is it more like that? I mean, I know we won't know until it gets here, but
right.
Are those the areas that are more likely, as opposed to eastern areas, southern areas that might be affected by that today?
Yes, and again, and that's not to say that we can't get a strong or severe thunderstorm, but those areas out west of us are in just a slightly higher risk. You know, the risk level is a level 2 of 5 out there versus a level 1 here. So that seems to be where the most formidable storms could develop. And all these storms that do develop are going to be tracking to the northeast. So that's why I expect those areas to see the action sooner than we will here in, you know, say the city of Chicago or the close-in suburbs in Indiana and, close proximity to the city.
Yeah, 219 area code texts in, will northwestern Indiana see any of these severe storms tonight?
It's possible. They're, you know, that northwest Indiana is in the risk, but they're also in a level 1, just like the city of Chicago and, again, the close-in suburbs. So I'm not going to say give the all-clear sign to northwest Indiana, but those areas are likely to see storms develop later in the day. It may even be beyond sunset in northwest Indiana. And, you know, the one thing about the storms, Dean, is as you get later into the evening, is we lose some of the instability that we have going for us right now this afternoon. You know, the atmosphere beyond sunset, you lose your peak daytime heating, which helps, you know, contribute to the strength of these storms. So that's one thing that will work to our advantage, certainly to deter the strongest storms in those areas. So, yeah, that's how it looks right now for northwest Indiana.
Okay, so for the Chicago, the main Chicago area, probably around 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I just kind of bracket the 4 to 8 time range in there, and that's a period that, you know, if you like we've been talking, if you got stuff to do outside, or if you have anything, you know, any yard work you need to get done, or you're planning a walk, or, you know, whatever that might be, get it done now. And after 4 o'clock is probably a good idea to certainly take a look at the radar. And also, you know, the possibility that the Storm Prediction Center you know, they may issue a watch. You know, usually when we get into a level two, like I said, parts of our area are in a level two risk. It wouldn't surprise me if, you know, they're watching the conditions closely to see where, you know, where these storms develop and to what intensity they may decide that, you know, a weather watch may become necessary. So that'll be something to keep an eye on as well. But for the short term, there's no problems right now.
Okay.
Next few hours, no problem.
What's the coming week looking like? Is it going to be a hot week or leading into
actually,
Labor Day?
We're going to have a cold front swing through tomorrow afternoon. So it'll be another warm day tomorrow. We might get some, it could get another round of scattered thunderstorms in the morning up until about midday. Then I think what will happen is the winds will switch around to the west-northwest, and we'll start to introduce some drier air. And so we may be in the mid-80s. It'll still be pretty muggy tomorrow. Then we'll see our temperatures step downward as we move through the rest of the week. By Tuesday, it'll still be a warm day in the low 80s, but with lower humidity. And then behind that, we've got a gorgeous stretch of comfortable weather, kind of nature's air conditioning, if you call it, nice. With temperatures Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in the mid to upper 70s and low temperatures around 60. So just ideal sleeping weather. And, you know, you won't need the air conditioners, and it'll be really perfect.
Perfect.
Almost perfect.
Perfect for the Labor Day weekend.
Exactly. We'll start to warm up over the, it looks like we'll start to warm up again over Labor Day weekend. But, hey, we got some really gorgeous weather coming, you know, middle and end of next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, this guy is the greatest right here. Mr. Bill Snyder, Tom Skilling's weather producer, his right-hand man, and giving you the weather on WGN-TV. And I always appreciate when he can jump on the phone with us here real quick to get us the latest. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, Dean, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and of course, our listeners. And I hope everybody has a great Sunday, and just keep an eye to the sky.
It is 1240. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, and time for our Food Time Show, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, our award-winning All Things Edible program, heard every Sunday at this time. And I wanted to talk about tomatoes, all the tomatoes that are coming in on everyone's backyard gardens right now. Wanted to spend some more time collecting some of your recipes and things that you do with the tomatoes. We talked about it a little bit last week. And I did a segment on television this past week, my weekly cooking segment, doing four different recipes for tomato recipes. So let me open up the phone lines, number one, for that. But also, I wanted to just throw out there also, this coming Wednesday, I'm going to be doing pizzas on the grill. I do this once or twice a year because I love pizzas on the grill. They're so delicious, so inventive, and when I do it, I start to get people start sending me what they do with pizzas on the grill, and I would like to get some of your recipes for that, and maybe I'll steal some of your recipes, give you the credit for it, but do them on television this coming Wednesday morning at 9:30 is when I do my cooking segment. So 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Off of the text line this morning, couple of things. Number one, from the 708 area code, Dean, I'm in a kayak right now listening. Loved your guest who would not leave. That was Frank Ferranti from the new Cabaret Zazu show, Luminaire. That's going to be opening on September the 7th over at Hotel Cambria. He's a great guy, really fun guy, and a friend. And we had him on to talk about his new show, and he would not leave the studio. it was pretty funny. So, but thank you. Hey, enjoy your kayaking. Get that done before all the rain is going to be coming in a little bit later on. I've got another text. Let me see here. We were talking about tomato recipes, and somebody checked in from the 847 area code. Dean, hope you're doing well. I am. Thank you very much. I like egg white, tomato, and mushroom omelets. Well, that sounds fantastic. Egg white, simply separating the egg or buying the egg whites. You know, you can buy egg whites just in a carton that makes it a lot more easy. You just take the egg whites and I'm going to guess maybe saute the mushrooms, right? A little bit. before you put them into the egg whites. And if it were me, I would cut up some of these delicious fresh tomatoes and throw those in. I don't think too much pre-cooking would actually need to be done with that. A little salt and pepper in there, and that's a fantastically delicious and super, super healthy omelet right there. That's a great idea. Let me see if we have any others here real quick. We'll get to those in a second here. 312-981-7200. We've got a pizza recipe suggestion. Kevin, hello. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you for calling in.
I think you'd like this one. I'm a chef, and I make my own dough and, you know, brush it a little bit with, you know, olive oil and put it on the grill. And then I cover it with some crumbled feta cheese.
Mm.
And then I take sliced tomatoes, drizzle balsamic glaze on it, and then I top the tomato with thinly sliced pieces of strawberry.
Oh, my gosh. Strawberry.
Well, have you ever had a strawberry dipped in balsamic glaze? It's unreal.
It's delicious, yeah. I wouldn't think of connecting it with the feta cheese, the salty and the sweet. But I'll bet that would be fantastic.
It really is. It's very refreshing. It's really a really nice flavor profile.
You know what?
Worth a try.
I'm going to steal your recipe. I'm going to do that on TV this week. That sounds really, really good. Now, before
fantastic.
Yeah, before I let you go, though, tell me, you say you make your own crust, right?
Yes.
What? Tell me how you do that, because, you know, on TV, I've been using these bobbly crusts. Just because it's easy. Uh-huh. It's easy on TV. It's a lot less mess when you're doing it at a remote location. But I was doing it, I read one of the packages and saw the sodium content of these bobbly pizza crusts. It's through the roof. It's ridiculously high.
Have you ever had a Detroit style pizza?
Like a sheet pan?
No, it's like Jets is very famous for their, it's called Detroit style. You can look it up online. I'm in my car right now, but it's four ingredients. And it's a light wheat. So the way to look at hard wheat will eat more like a bagel.
Yeah.
Light wheat will eat more like a donut.
Okay.
And it has really big cell structure in it. And I use that on it because it browns nicely and it cooks quickly. And like I said, it has crispiness on the edge, but it's a really nice, airy bite on the inside of it.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
And like I said, with those combinations of the cheese and the balsamic glaze and the tomato and strawberry, it's really, really tasty.
Yeah, you've got me really curious about this this mixture of flavors in here. I'm definitely going to give that a try. But so I should look up, what'd you say, Detroit-style pizza crust?
Detroit-style pizza crust.
Okay.
Four ingredients. You know, your yeast, your flour, water, and I believe I added sugar, a little bit of sugar to it. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I work as a flavor developer, developing new flavors for restaurant chains and big manufacturers.
Oh,
and
wow.
You'd be stunned if you the ingredient decks on some of these things. It's like, oh, my.
Right. I think when I'm, you know, for convenience, can't beat, just cutting the cellophane thing open and basically warming it up a little bit. But
I mean, it's just, you know, like the Detroit style, you know, you mix all the ingredients, you let it rise and just rest for 24 hours, you roll it out, you're done. I mean, it's so easy.
Yeah, it's really not that difficult. And, health-wise, you can't beat it. Do you use regular all-purpose flour or a wheat flour on that?
Yes.
Okay.
All-purpose.
I think I'm going to do both. I'm completely stealing your idea.
Please do,
Kevin.
And enjoy.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Ooh, that sounds good.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Wow, feta, tomatoes, and a drizzle of balsamic, and strawberries. How very, very interesting. All right, I'm definitely, you can look for me to steal and do that recipe on television this coming week. Here's the 708 area code. Dean, I love thick slices of tomato with burrata cheese and reduced balsamic. Yeah, I sort of made something like that on TV this week. I added one thing, which I'm not sure was a great idea or not. But let me tell you, I mean, the burrata cheese is like a ball of mozzarella, except it's way creamier, way more delicious, a little more expensive, but I think worth it. And, you know, you get these tomatoes that you're picking right out of your yard. They're so delicious. Cut them nice and thick with the burrata cheese, a nice big ball of burrata cheese. I surrounded it with the tomatoes. I throw fresh basil. I rip up the basil and put that on there as well. And then you can either take your balsamic vinegar and reduce it in a pan until it gets syrupy, or you can buy the balsamic glaze, which they already sell in the store, and it's already reduced and already nice and thick. But either way, it's super delicious. And that's a fantastic idea. The thing that I added to it in the recipe that I did on TV this week was some slices of cantaloupe, which, you know, it tasted good. Hardly anybody wanted to touch it. I think, you know, it wasn't something that people are used to. Some people also put watermelon in with their tomato, their burrata, and, you know, the whole thing, basically a caprese salad. Some people put watermelon in with that, with the sweetness. And, you know, it's very polarizing to throw the fruit in with the caprese. Some people love it, and some people don't even want to touch it. And it was probably, of the four things that I made on TV this week, that one was probably the least favorite. I made a Greek village salad, which is, it's a salad without lettuce. So it's fresh cut, you know, the tomatoes. It's primarily, I would say probably about 70% of the fresh cut tomatoes. Then you put in some cucumber. You put in some green pepper, and I like to put in a nice Vidalia onion, you know, a nice sweet one, oil and vinegar, and some salt, pepper, and oregano, and you can't beat that. I did a similar salad with some roasted corn and tomato and an apple cider vinegar. That was absolutely delicious. By far the favorite of what I cooked on TV this week, a pasta. I took some cherry tomatoes, cut them in half, and oven roasted them 250 degrees for 2 hours until they, you know, they reduced down, but intensified in flavor, basically like sun drying them, except I did it in my oven. I mixed that in with some pesto sauce and some lemon zest, by far the most favorite of all the tomato recipes that I did. John Hanson coming up with Let's Get Legal right after the 1 o'clock news. Stick around for that as we wind up our Food Time show for today. Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, talking tomatoes, talking pizza. That's what I'm going to be cooking on TV this coming Wednesday. Pizza's on the grill. So fantastic. And kind of the subject of pizza doughs has come up today and how easy it is to make pizza dough. A bunch of texts have coming in saying that they just buy their pizza dough already made at the grocery store, and it's absolutely delicious. I've done that as well, and that works out okay. Here's one from Chuck in Lincolnshire. Dean, I make my own pizza dough in my bread machine, but I also add Italian seasoning and garlic to the dough. That sounds like a fantastically delicious idea right there. I'm going to give that a try. I think I'm going to try doing this. Normally, I do it with the Boboli pizza crust because it's easy. You know, it's easy when you're doing it on TV. You got to do it kind of quick and get everything done quickly. I'm going to figure out a way so I can show how easy it is to make pizza dough and also make some fantastic pizzas with some new recipes and some pizza recipes. By far the most popular pizza recipe that I've done on TV is my barbecue chicken pizza, where you take, you know, the dough, you put a thin layer of barbecue sauce on top of it, some roasted chicken, some caramelized onions, and a little bit of mozzarella cheese. It's the most delicious pizza ever. I'll show you how to make it on TV this coming Wednesday.